Salvation, Keepers of Hell, Book 2, written by Danielle James, read to you by Miles Taylor. Then, you have worked hard, and you shall have your reward, the man told Ash. He closed his eyes, and a slow smile spread across his beautiful face. Ash felt a tingling at his back, just between the shoulder blades, and then a sharp burn. You are mine now, forevermore. You have proven yourself worthy of the position I grant you this day, the man continued. Ash tried to listen to each word, but the burning on his back was getting very intense. It was all he could do not to crumple over from it. You shall lead where others have failed. You shall bring the wrongs of your predecessors to right. You shall reign beside me, not in the kingdom of heaven, but the kingdom of hell. You shall be the executioner of my judgment. Ash felt his own head jerk up. What? The kingdom of hell? Did he just hear that right? You did hear that right, God answered for him. And I have gifted you with all the power you will ever need to do the job right. Ash had momentarily forgotten the pain in his back, which he now realized was gone. He jerked his head around and looked over his shoulder. He didn't have to look hard. He had wings. Huge, shiny, sparkling, black as onyx, wings. In his mind, he thought for them to move, and they obeyed without delay. The magnificent pair spread out from his back. They had to be at least 10 feet across, and as tall as he was. They shimmered with each slight movement, almost as if they were made of black liquid reflecting the sun. Ash had never seen anything so beautiful. I don't know what to say, Ash finally managed to mutter. What did one say when they were gifted with wings? Freaking wings, the likes of which any self-respecting angel would envy. Say thank you, he said. Thank you, Ash said sincerely. He wanted to tell him that he was no good for this job, that he couldn't do it. Why him? Surely there were better prospects out there for the job. And what about Elizabeth? He had just triumphed over some serious evil. Why me? He asked aloud. I was kind of hoping to have some kind of normal life. I was hoping to fight Elizabeth and tell her the good news. Maybe celebrate a little. I have chosen you because you are strong enough. You are one of the most loving, honest people I ever created. You know the meaning of sacrifice. You know what it means to pay your penance. God paused to search Ash's face. Would you refuse me this? Ash's mouth opened and closed a couple of times. He had envisioned his life playing out a million different ways, but none of them like this. He figured he would die at some point while battling a snarling demon, but definitely not leading them. But one does not argue with God, does one? No. Ash had committed enough sin for 2 lifetimes, and he was being given the opportunity to atone for that. And hell, he had wings. Ash shut his trap tight and willed the clouds from his head. Lead hell? He asked. Yes, I know you will do a fine job, God said to him with a knowing smile. Ash turned to the man. So you're really him? He asked. Yes, my son, he answered, and it is time for you to take your rightful place. Wait, Ash said, grabbing him by the elbow. He quickly released him and apologized. I'm sorry. I don't know what got into me. God smiled at him. I assure you, it is quite all right. Now what troubles you? Ash didn't want to say what was about to come out of his mouth. He didn't want to, but he knew if he didn't ask, things would always be dangerous. Elizabeth would never be safe. I would ask something of you, Ash began. God raised an expectant brow. It's Elizabeth. Ash took a deep breath and steeled his courage. I don't want her to be a part of this life. I don't want this for her. I want her to be happy and safe. I want her to be loved by someone who deserves her. I want her to be loved by someone who will be no danger to her, and will hold her tight at night, and love her with all the respect and happiness that she deserves. Ash paused for a moment, doubting his courage, but finally continued. I don't want her to know me. I don't want her to remember me or any of this. He made an all-encompassing motion with his hand. He could already feel his heart breaking in his chest, and had to choke back a sob. His heart was vehemently against the words that were about to leave his lips, and it was making no secret of it. And I don't want to know her, he finally added in a hoarse whisper. Are you sure about this? God asked him. Ash nodded. As long as we know each other, we will never be able to stay away from each other. As long as Elizabeth is with me, she'll always be in danger. This is the only way I know to keep her safe. As you wish, God answered. The truest of loves is the one that can let go. He nodded once and then turned to walk away. Ash followed him with a heavy heart, but no idea why he felt so empty. Now, the man's stark white suit was in complete contrast to the dark red and black walls of the cavernous space of hell. His inner light surrounded him, giving him a heavenly glow. All of hell's keepers, the ones that oversaw the different sanctions of hell, were gathered for a meeting. They weren't really given a choice in the matter. What God wanted, he got. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. My children, he said softly, but every ear heard his words. There has been much to happen. The balance has been upset for too long. I have taken back my creations. The time of change is upon you. My will be done. The population on Earth has succeeded where others have failed. My child, my creation, Lucifer, is dead. In the wake of his loss, many of you have vied for his position, but I am taking hell back. For too long, this place has been allowed to run as Lucifer saw fit, but he ruled with anger and jealousy in his heart. He ruled with hate and sorrow. Now, hell will be run as it was always meant to be, without corruption. Murmurs and whispers spread throughout the cavern. Hell is a necessity, God continued. As always, the punishment must fit the crime. Now, instead of being led by a fallen one with evil in his heart, you will be led by someone of my choosing. There will no longer be senseless killing for power or title in this place. You will be ruled by one who has proven himself worthy in my eyes. He will be fair and just, but don't upset him too badly. He can be nasty. A man appeared next to God. His short dark hair, dark eyes, and muscular body gave him the look of someone fitting for hell's throne. The long black wings he sported on his back helped too. He has earned his way to this seat, and I trust him with the power it holds. He shall rule over you. You will grant him all the respect and authority due to him, as he is sanctioned by me. All of the leaders fell to one knee in front of their new leader. He was nervous and still wasn't too sure about this job God himself had given him, but he would do it. He would make God proud of him. A hand landed softly on his shoulder, and words that were spoken to his heart rather than his ears came to him. I am already proud of you. Ash turned and looked over his shoulder to admire his wings once again. Oh, he started. God laughed. They are truly some of my best work, he offered. The gift I give you is created in my love. They hold all the power you will ever need. Treat them well, and they shall never fail you. With that thought, he was gone, and Ash was left to admire his beautiful gift. He was a leader, an angel, and still, his heart was heavy. It was as if something was missing from his life, but he didn't know what it was. Lily was going to be safe from now on. His parents' murderer had been punished. He had a monumental task in front of him, and he knew he would do his best. But he had a suspicion that the empty feeling in his heart wasn't going to go away. He recognized it as loneliness. It was a part of his life that he had accepted long ago, and he knew it wasn't about to change. However, this was different. He felt as if he were longing for something very specific, someone specific. However, he didn't have a clue who or what, and that bothered him more than he cared to admit. Chapter 1. Welcome to hell, sure, a gnarly little man said to Ash. He dropped to one knee and bowed his head, and Ash could see the balding crown of the little thing's head. I am but your humble servant. His joints were all twice the normal size for his small frame, and the skin seemed to hang off his bones. Ash stared at the thing. He supposed at one point it used to be a man. He wondered what this particular soul had done to land himself in hell. And the whole bowing thing, that was just too much and was going to have to stop. Now, stand, Ash said quietly. You will no longer bow to me.
I don't understand, the man said. You are our king now. We must bow to you.
Ash shook his head. I am no king. I am just your leader. The only person you will bow to from now on is God. The little man rose shakily to his feet.
As you wish.
What is your name? Ash asked him.
Malachi, he said.
Well, Mally, Ash said with a sad smile. How about we get started and you show me around? The little man's face lit up. Not only had his new leader asked for his help, but he had given him a nickname that was already better than his previous employer.
It would be my honor, he beamed.
When he smiled, Ash saw that his teeth, what few he had, were rotted and falling apart. He He resisted the urge to cringe. "Might as well get started," Ash mumbled to no one in particular. He had been given a new job by the highest authority, and he intended to do it to the best of his ability. On his many trips to hell over his adult life, he had never wandered too far into it. He figured that if he was going to run it, he needed to see all of it.
"Right this way," Mally said,
moving faster than Ash would have thought the little guy could. They walked through a dark corridor that twisted and turned several times. Ash palmed the amulet on his neck. It had been his way of transporting to and from hell before he became a permanent resident. He hoped it would still work. He was nearly positive he was going to get lost. And that wouldn't be a good thing. Not here. Not ever. Finally, after about 10 minutes of walking, there was a light of sorts at the end of the tunnel. Ash steeled his will as they got closer. At the end of the corridor, the light was coming from a blazing fire. The same fire that he had seen when he had been shot and flatlined. His heart kicked up a notch or two. This was it. He was going to die. Or was he already dead? Dead men didn't have heartbeats, as far as he knew, and he sure as hell had one. It was thumping in his ears at 100 miles an hour.
"Do not fear the flames," Mally told him. "They are just for show. They won't hurt you."
Ash raised a skeptical brow. Those harmless flames sure felt hot, hotter the closer they got to them. He watched as Mally walked right up to the flames and then into them. The little man just disappeared into the fire.
"Well?" Mally's voice asked. "Come on."
Ash took a deep breath. He forced his feet to move and stepped into the flames. He was surrounded by fiery orange and yellow light, but Mally had been right. It was hot, but he was unharmed. He walked further until the flames were behind him. In front of him was what looked like an ordinary elevator.
"I hope you don't mind. I already pushed the button," Mally told him.
Ash shook his head. It wasn't as if he knew where he was going anyway. "Is that an elevator?" Ash asked him.
"Yep, sure beats taking the stairs,"
Mally answered. An elevator, in hell, and stairs. Because why wouldn't there be? There was a ding, and then the metal doors opened. Ash stepped in behind Mally. The top and sides were mirrored, and for the first time, Ash got a good look at his wings. They moved as he did, flowing like black ink.
"So where do you want to start?"
Mally asked as the doors closed, shaking Ash out of his admiration. "I don't know, to be honest," Ash told him. "I need to see it all."
"Okay, then," the man said. "We can start at the top and work our way down."
He pushed the button for level 1. Ash noticed that there were 9 numbered buttons and one that just had an O on it. "What is on that floor?" Ash asked, pointing to the O.
"Oh, that's your office," Mally said.
"And the others?"
"Well," Mally turned to face Ash and looked up at him.
"They really didn't tell you anything, did they?"
"No, not really," Ash admitted.
"Hell is constructed of 10 levels. There is the administrative level, where your office is, and all the databases, plus your living quarters. Then there are levels 1 through 9. Each level houses a unique breed of sinner, and each one is unique to the crime committed."
"Like in Dante's poem," Ash mumbled.
"Sort of," Mally said. "You heard of the 7 deadly sins?"
"Yeah," Ash said.
"Well, 7 levels are devoted to them. The other 2 are for murders and crimes against children."
Mally shook his head. "You'll see." Just then, the elevator dinged and the doors opened to a vast hallway. Ash thought it looked like an office waiting area. Hell was an office, really?
"Come," Mally said, stepping out of the elevator.
Ash followed him. They walked through the waiting area and came to a set of sturdy steel doors. There was an electrical panel on the wall beside them.
"You gotta put your hand on the panel," Mally told him.
Ash did it. As soon as he placed his hand on the panel, there was a beep and then the doors clicked.
"It's palm recognition. Not just anyone could walk into each sanction," Mally told him.
"Right," Ash said. He had to admit, hell was far more high-tech than he thought it would be. He pushed at the doors, which opened easily. Mally was on his right, and as soon as the doors were all the way open, he said,
"This is Sloth."
Chapter 2. Sloth. Ash swallowed back the bile that threatened the back of his throat when he saw what was on the other side of the doors. It was as if he had stepped outside, but in a different world. The sky was black, without a star to be seen, and the ground was dirt, with sparse scatterings of grass and weeds. The weeds grew tall, but the trees had no leaves. On the ground, everywhere, were huge slugs. They lumbered in their movements, the slick slime their bodies produced, doing nothing to aid in their journey. Ash had walked into the sanction before he realized it. He got close to one of the slug things, only to realize that it had the face of a human woman.
"What the fuck?" Ash grumbled out.
This is where the criminally lazy go after death, Mally told him. These are the people who don't ever do anything for anyone, including themselves. Couch potatoes, mama's boys, and chronic welfare people.
I didn't know welfare was a crime, Ash said with a shake of his head.
It's not, Mally told him. But for a person to believe they are entitled to it, and never even try to provide for themselves or their families is. These are the people who wouldn't get off their asses to save their own child from drowning.
I see, Ash said quietly. And this is their punishment, to be a slug? Mally chuckled.
Not exactly. Or rather, it isn't the whole punishment. Let me see if I can get Rogue out here to talk to you.
Who is Rogue?
He is the keeper of Sloth, Mally said as if Ash should have already known that bit of info. Rogue! He shouted into the realm. Get your ass out here and meet our new leader!
There was a thunderous pounding of footsteps that got louder as he approached. Rogue was a huge beast of a man. Ash had to will his feet to stay put. As the enormous man got closer, Rogue barreled at high speeds right for them, a huge cloud of dust kicking up in his wake. Just before he would have plowed into Ash and Mally, Rogue came to an instant halt mere inches from Ash. Immediately, the giant took a knee in front of Ash. Oh no, Ash thought. Not again. He took a moment to look at the top of Rogue's head, knowing he would likely never see it again. Rogue was bald on top, with skin that looked a bit like worn leather. It had a slightly brown tint to it. That wasn't the interesting part. The pair of curled horns that sat atop either side of his head was. They were black as night and reminded Ash of ram horns.
It is an honor, my liege, Rogue said with his head bowed.
Ash rolled his eyes. Thanks, but please stand up. No bowing to me. Rogue lifted his huge head, and two solid black eyes bored into Ash's.
I don't understand, he said.
I don't want anyone bowing to me. I'm your boss, just like any other job. Ash explained yet again how he felt it was wrong for the keepers to bow to him.
As you wish, Rogue answered, and stood to his full height.
Ash was right in his earlier assessment. The man was huge. Actually, Rogue was a demon. His dark skin, black eyes, and, well, the horns, pretty much made that clear. He stood a good foot taller than Ash's 6'4", and was twice as thick. His shoulders were as wide as a kitchen table, and his exposed belly was nothing but muscle, with more muscle underneath.
What shall I call you? He asked.
Ash will do just fine, Ash answered him. You run this place? Rogue nodded his head.
Yep, ever since the dawn of time,
Ash nodded. So what did you do to earn your position? He asked. Rogue laughed heartily. It was a rolling, thunderous laugh that vibrated in Ash's chest. When he opened his mouth, Ash could see the huge fangs and sharp teeth that lined his gums.
I didn't do anything. I was created for this.
I see, Ash replied. It made sense. Many demons were created by God, some by Lucifer. Who was your maker? Rogue grinned at him.
Same as yours. The big man whipped me up out of sugar and spice.
Mally snickered.
What? You got something to add to that, little man?
Rogue snapped at Mally.
Nope, he replied. Why don't you show Ash what really goes on here?
That might be interesting, Ash agreed. Are these souls condemned to be slugs forever?
Something like that, Rogue answered. But you gotta add some fun into the mix every now and again.
Ash wasn't sure he wanted to know. At the risk of eating my words, what exactly do you mean?
Here, Rogue said, pulling a small black box out of his pocket. Let me show you.
He pressed a couple of buttons on what looked like a TV remote, and the ground started to shake under their feet.
Hang on, this is gonna be fun.
Ash watched as the heads of all the slugs picked up. They could feel the ground shaking and some of them cried out. Then, Ash saw what was causing it. A dinosaur was beating feet in their direction. Not just any dinosaur, but a Tyrannosaurus Rex.
Rogue was grinning from ear to ear by that point. No worries, boss. Tinkerbell won't eat you.
At that moment, all Ash could think about was the keeper of Sloth named the freaking T-Rex Tinkerbell. Ash watched as the Rex pounded through the field of slugs. Some of the souls tried to run away, but they couldn't. They just couldn't move fast enough. Ash saw the Rex grab one up in his mouth. He closed his eyes as the beast's jaws snapped shut on the soul. He knew by the gurgling noise that this particular soul was now dino dinner.
Come on, you worthless sacks of slime. It's a freaking T-Rex. His brain is the size of a walnut. He has puny arms. Just get up and move your asses.
Rogue bellowed into the air. Ash couldn't watch anymore. He was fighting to keep the contents of his stomach in his body. Rogue and Mally just laughed, though. After it was over, Rogue put a hand on Ash's shoulder.
You see, these people wouldn't make a move to help anyone in life. Not even themselves. Their punishment in death is to be helpless.
Ash shuddered.
Every day I let Tinkerbell out, and every day she eats a few slugs. Tomorrow, everyone will be back for another round. Except no one remembers what happened before. A new day, a new terror.
Rogue's chest puffed out as he spoke.
And to think, all of this could have been avoided for some of them, if they had only repented and changed their ways. Hell, all they had to do was try.
Ash shook his head. That was gross, just gross.
Well, come on, boss,
Mally said as he turned for the exit.
We've got a lot of ground to cover.
It was nice meeting you, Ash said to Rogue and stuck out his hand.
Rogue took Ash's hand in his much larger one and shook it enthusiastically.
Same here. Come on by, anytime, he said with a wide grin.
As soon as the beast let go of his hand, Ash turned to follow Mally. Chapter 3. Elizabeth Roan tossed her jacket into her locker and pulled her lab coat out. She closed the locker door a bit harder than she meant to, but whatever. It did the job. She pulled the lab coat on over her pink and white scrubs and checked the pockets to make sure she had everything she needed. Pens, paper, tape. Yep, that should just about do it. She pulled her hair back into a snug ponytail at the base of her head and walked briskly to the elevator doors. She pushed the button and waited for the doors to open. This was different for her. For the first 5 years of her career as a doctor, she had worked trauma in the ER. She had always wanted to be a doctor, and the ER never failed to keep her on her feet. That was, until about 6 months ago. A severe debilitating depression had settled on her all at once. She barely had the will to get out of bed, much less make repeated attempts to save the lives of the people who rolled into her ER. Gunshot victims were the worst. She didn't understand why, but she felt the overwhelming urge to save every one of them. When the body was too damaged to survive and the person died, Elizabeth took it hard. Every time. She went home in tears and had nightmares about it. Every time she was an emotional wreck and she didn't have a clue what to do about it. She had even sought out the help of a therapist, who told her that she needed to find something that brought her joy. The only problem with that was, there wasn't anything. She finally decided a change was in order. She was a medical doctor first, but she also had all the necessary credentials to be an OBGYN. After about 2 months of struggling, she asked for a transfer. It only took a few weeks to get her out of the ER and into labor and delivery. She thought that maybe bringing new life into the world would be far less depressing than losing patients every day. And she was a certified trauma surgeon. Perfect combination. The move had helped some, but every day Elizabeth wandered the halls of the hospital, wondering what it was that was missing in her life. She felt the pain of loss, as if she had lost someone she loved. But that didn't happen. She hadn't lost anyone. She couldn't shake the nagging feeling that she was missing something. Something big. Something that should be as plain as the nose on her face. And it hurt. Hurt so bad it was a physical pain in her chest. At one point, she got herself checked out by a cardiovascular physician, just to make sure. Her heart was in perfect condition. Her therapist and her doctor agreed. She was having anxiety attacks. Elizabeth was a doctor herself, so she knew that wasn't exactly right either. But it was something she could blame the pain on. Something that might help explain the sudden urges she had to cry, or throw something at some unsuspecting jerk's head. Whatever was going on with her, she knew it wasn't normal. And just that knowledge helped her to deal with it a little bit better. She got on the elevator and rode it up to the fourth floor. When the little bell chimed, she exited and went straight to the nurse's station. How's it been tonight? She asked the nurse behind the desk. Elizabeth looked at her name tag. Julie. She felt bad for not remembering these nurses' names. Hell, it was all she could do lately to remember her own.
Not too bad, Julie answered. Got two in early labor, but I doubt they would deliver by morning.
There was one lady, Mrs. Grand, in room 6. That little one is giving us some grief.
What's going on? Elizabeth asked. Heart rate keeps becoming unstable. We have just changed the internal monitor and had Mom turn over for a while. Last check was 30 minutes ago, and she was 6 centimeters.
The nurse pecked at her computer keyboard while she talked.
I'm going to go have a look, if that's okay, Elizabeth told her.
Yeah, she's a patient of Dr. King's, but he's off tonight.
So she's yours anyway.
Elizabeth rolled her eyes. She hated when the nursing staff referred to the mothers as property.
Okay, thanks,
Elizabeth said as she turned to walk away. She headed right for room 6. She knocked lightly on the door and opened it. "Hello," she called into the room. "Come in," a small female voice said. Elizabeth entered the room and closed the door behind her. "Hi, I'm Dr. Roan. Dr. King is out this evening. Is it okay if I treat you tonight?" she asked the expectant mother. The woman was exhausted already. Her hair was damp with sweat, and it stuck to her head and ears. "Yeah," the woman said. "I'm really tired." "I can tell. The nurses told me that your little one has been moving around a lot and making the monitors go nuts," Elizabeth said. "Mind if I check you out just to make sure everything is progressing okay?" The mother nodded and shifted until she was on her back. She pulled her knees up and assumed the position. Elizabeth smiled. Every expectant mother knew the drill by this time in her delivery. "I'm just going to check your cervix," she told her. "Yeah, that's fine," she said. "Everyone in this hospital has already seen my Pikachu anyway. Especially the third time, they changed that monitor thingy in his head." Elizabeth's head snapped up. "They changed it 3 times? The mother nodded. Elizabeth ground her teeth together as she placed her hand under the sheets to begin her exam. She felt around and realized that this woman was progressing much faster than the nurses thought. "Listen, Mrs. Grand," Elizabeth said softly. "I am getting that you are 9 centimeters, almost 10. It's showtime. Are you ready to go?" The soon-to-be mom smiled. "Yes, let's do this," she said. "Okay, I'm going to step outside and get a few people. This is a big production, you know," Elizabeth said with a wide grin, even though she could clearly see the baby's heart rate falling on the monitor. "I'll be back in less than a minute." Elizabeth stepped outside the room and closed the door behind her. Julie was walking in her direction. "Julie," Elizabeth snapped, "did you put 3 internal monitors on that baby's head?" "Yes," she answered. "They keep malfunctioning." Elizabeth rolled her eyes so hard she was sure she saw her own brain. "One might malfunction. 1, not 2, and definitely not 3, she barked at the nurse. "And I just checked her. She is 9, nearly 10. Get the team and get in there now." Elizabeth hated to take that tone with the nurses, but she hated putting a newborn at risk even more. She was pissed off way beyond reasonable measures. She took a few deep breaths before going back into the room with the mother and her unborn child. When she was calm enough, which only took a few seconds, she went back into the room. "Mrs. Grand," she said gently. "Your baby's heart rate is too low," she said. She saw the undeniable fear cross the woman's face. "Don't you worry," Elizabeth continued. "I am going to get him out as quickly as possible. Everything is going to be okay." Elizabeth heard the team of nurses coming in the door. She tried to be as gentle as possible with the mother while barking orders at her team. The nurse from the nursery wheeled in the bassinet, along with all the baby supplies needed. Elizabeth pulled at the handle directly above the bed to pull the light down from the ceiling. She moved quickly with the nurses to get the mom's feet in the stirrups, and the end of the bed dropped down. "Everybody ready?" she asked. A chorus of yeses rang out, including the mother. "All right, let's do this," Elizabeth said. "Push for us. Push now." The mother grabbed the back of her own knees and bared down as hard as she could. Elizabeth couldn't see the baby's head yet. "Again," she demanded, and the mother obeyed. 10 pushes later, and the baby was still in the same position. "Call the OR," she told one of the nurses in a whisper. "Mrs. Grand," Elizabeth said gently, "the baby isn't coming down like he should. His heart rate is too low, and I am afraid that he is going to be hurt if we don't get him out now." "Oh, God," the mother cried out. "Do something." "I am," Elizabeth told her. "We are taking you to the OR for an emergency C-section." "Surgery?" the mother asked desperately. Elizabeth pulled her gloves off and moved around the bed. She took the mother's hand into her own. "Listen, he is in trouble. Once we get you in there, I can have the baby out in less than 60 seconds. But we have to move now. So I am asking you, will you give me permission to operate and save your baby?" The mother had tears in her eyes, and it was a long second later before she nodded her approval. "Let's go then," Elizabeth told her with a smile. "Let's go have a baby." The team transferred the patient from the bed to a gurney as quickly as possible. And while that was going on, Elizabeth ran ahead of them. She had pulled her radio from her belt and was giving orders over it while she ran to the pre-op area to scrub up. This was that feeling. The high. The euphoria she used to get in the ER. She was working against time, and she was going to save a brand new life. She had every confidence in her own skill, and this was what life was all about. She entered the OR, and the mother was already there. Anesthesia was already there, too, sedating her and tying her arms down. "Okay, everyone, let's get going," she announced. She stepped up on her step stool so that she was tall enough to do her work. She ran a fingernail across the mother's abdomen. "Can you feel this?" she asked. The mother said no, and she said no to the prick of the needle that Elizabeth administered as well. Elizabeth took her scalpel in hand and made a precise cut along the pubic line. For just a moment, she had the flash of a memory, cutting into a chest, a heart that wasn't beating. It was only a flash, but it felt like a memory of something she just could not grasp. She shook it off and made her second cut, this time into the uterus. Very gently, the skin and muscle was spread, and Elizabeth got her first look at the unborn child. Carefully, she grasped the amniotic sac that surrounded the baby and sliced it open. Fluid gushed out, only to be suctioned back out by a nurse. Elizabeth reached in and took the baby by the butt. She had to wiggle it a bit, but she managed to pull him free of his mother's pelvic cavity. "And here is the problem," she announced. "He's got a necktie," she said, pulling the umbilical cord free from the baby's neck. She held him upside down for a moment and then handed him to the waiting NICU nurse, who went to work on cleaning him up. "How is he?" the mother asked. Before Elizabeth could answer, a shrill wail lit up the room and a chorus of relieved sighs followed. "I think he is going to be just fine," the NICU nurse told her. Elizabeth went to work on putting the mother back together. While she stitched and listened to the lovely sounds of the new baby wailing like a banshee, she tried to remember what it was that she couldn't remember. She hadn't cut into anyone's chest lately that she could remember. And a dead heart? That just about described her. If only she could figure out the whys of it, she could maybe figure out why she was so damn depressed all the time. Chapter 4. Greed. Ash watched the elevator doors open to another office-type lobby. It looked exactly the same as Sloth had. Before he and Mally could open the double doors leading into the sanction, they opened on their own. A tall, willowy woman came out. Her hair was like fire, red and blonde, and it waved around her long face as if each strand was alive. "I didn't realize it was you," she said to Ash. As the others did, she started to bow. "Please don't bow," Ash told her.
"Yeah, he is kind of weird about that," Mally piped in. "Doesn't like it one bit. Might get your head bit off if you do it."
Ash tossed an elbow at the little man and was rewarded with a grunt. "What he means to say is," Ash said, "that I do not want anyone bowing to me. I have a job to do here, just like you. I'm Ash." He put his hand out to shake hers. She looked Ash up and down thoroughly, then at his hand quizzically for a moment, and then took it into her own. "Nice to meet you, Ash," she said with a come-hither grin. "I'm Shelley." Ash inclined his head once. "Are we going in?" he asked. "Of course," she said. She held her head high, and with a flick of her hand, the doors opened. Ash walked through them without hesitation. Once the doors closed, he could see the inside of Greed. People, men and women alike, were shackled to the floor by their ankles. In front of each soul was a pile of rocks of various sizes. Ash watched as each soul picked up the heavy rocks, some of them as big as boulders, and placed them into their piles. "What are they doing?" he asked.
"Well, honey, this is Greed. These folks spent their lives taking and taking, with no respect for others. They had it all, and they still wanted more. Therefore, they will spend the rest of their eternity gathering their payment to leave."
Shelley smiled wickedly.
"Of course, no one leaves."
"Why do they think they can leave?" Ash asked.
"Because that is part of this hell. Each of them sees gold and silver all around them. They believe that if they gather enough riches, they can buy their way out of hell. But you see, once their piles of rocks get high enough, it disappears. They must continue to nurture their sin."
Shelley shook her head. "It is really quite boring. What if one of them gave the rocks to someone else?" Ash asked her. Shelley's eyebrows rose. "As in to help another person? Knowing they wouldn't be able to gather enough for themselves?"
"Yeah," Ash answered.
"Wouldn't that be a selfless act?" She thought about that for a moment.
"I guess that would have some kind of effect. But I have been here for 1,000 years. It's never happened. I doubt it ever will."
"That's pretty sad," Ash remarked more to himself than to anyone else.
"Yeah, but that's the way of it," Mally said. "Come now, we still have a lot of ground to cover."
Ash followed Mally back to the elevator. By the time they reached Gluttony, Ash had a better idea about what to expect. He wasn't as taken back by the sight of souls that were bone thin and surrounded by excess. There was a buffet, a feast, really, fit for a huge party. Cakes and chocolates lined one never-ending table, while steaks and hams lined another. There was yet another table filled with breads and crackers. Everywhere he looked, there was stuff,
clothes, designer perfumes, any and everything anyone could want. But the tenants could never have any of it. Each time they touched something, it turned to dust in their hands. It was their punishment for overindulging in life. The leader of gluttony was a jolly man. He rather reminded Ash of Santa Claus. He was round in the belly and had a white beard. And boy did he laugh, every time one of the souls gave in to temptation. Envy and pride were about the same. Ash met their leaders as well. In pride, the souls had to beg for everything, including toilet paper. In envy, they were forced to watch others have what they coveted but could never have. The leader of wrath was more like a demented Marine sergeant. His name was Marcus, and he looked human, mostly. His eyes were weird, though, solid black with no irises. The souls trapped there were the object of their own sin. They were beaten repeatedly and were subjected to the leader's anger. He wasn't at all surprised when he saw the inside of murder. The souls there were sliced and diced, then put back together for another round. It was an eternity of torture, delivered by Adule, the demon leader. Adule looked every bit the demon that should run murder. He was tall, black-skinned, with one horn protruding from the top of his head and curling over his skull. His shoulders were broad and muscular, and his arms led down to hands that had sharp claws at the tips of his fingers. He had a small situation while in lust. He was talking to the beautiful leader, Amaris, discussing how the sanction worked. The souls there were shown something, whether it was a man or woman, to stoke the soul's desire. Once they acted upon it, their genitals shriveled and became useless to them. It was there that Ash saw a glimpse of a woman who had long dark hair and was wearing what looked like scrubs. Her frame was petite, but he could tell that she wasn't skin and bones. Although he could not see her face, he felt as if he knew her. "Who is that?" Ash asked when he saw her. "Who?" Mally asked him in return. Ash pointed at her. "That woman there," he said. He tried to ignore the immediate raging hard-on the figure inspired for him. "Oh no, boss," Mally said, pulling on Ash's arm. "I don't see anyone, so that means it is lust doing it to you. It knows your weakness. It fucks with your mind. We gotta get you out of here before you become the victim of your own sin." Ash reluctantly followed Mally out of lust, but still, he couldn't shake the image of the woman from his mind. That, of course, was put on the back burner when they entered what was lovingly called the playground. "There was a special place in hell for those who commit crimes against children," Mally told him as they entered the heavy doors. Ash didn't know what to think. Everywhere he looked, there were children laughing and playing. The sound of so many children playing made his heart swell, and for a brief moment, made him sad as well. He could never have children. He didn't even know he wanted any until that moment. "I don't understand," Ash said. "Look closer," Remy, the leader of the playground, told him. Ash did, and he realized that there were, in fact, adult souls in the sanction. They had their eyes trained on the ground. None of them looked at the children. "What are they doing?"
"Doing their best not to think unclean thoughts about those kids," Remy said. "If they do, the realm knows. Just wait. Some sap will do it. They always do."
Right then, as if on cue, someone screamed. Ash turned toward the sound and saw a man in his 50s on his knees and holding his abdomen.
"When they look at the children with anything but pure love, they are punished. Their own body attacks them from the inside out. I'm told it feels like being eaten by a tiger, only in reverse."
Remy's chest shook with silent laughter.
"Sick fucks. Serves them right."
"Who are these children?" Ash needed to know. There should never be kids in hell, as far as he was concerned.
"Oh, don't worry there," Remy told him. "Those are the children in heaven. Some have lived and died, and some haven't been born yet. They can't see us, but we can see them. It's almost like an alternate reality, existing together."
Ash shuddered. It made perfect sense, though. He was glad that he wasn't a sick fuck who liked to prey on kids. After the tour ended, Mally took Ash to the top floor on the elevator.
"This is where your office is," he reminded Ash. "Go in, get situated, and get some rest. It's been a long day."
"Thank you, Mally," Ash told his little assistant. "I appreciate your help."
"No problem,"
Mally answered with a proud grin.
"Just give me a call if you need me."
And then he was gone. Didn't leave, just disappeared. Hell was just like one giant office building. Each floor was dedicated to a certain kind of sinner, and each one had a waiting area. Ash had always thought hell was one big never-ending inferno. Turns out that wasn't the case at all. It was organized, tidy. It was just creepy. That's what it was. Ash shrugged his shoulders and faced two heavy wooden doors. There were thick brass handles on each door, but they appeared as if they would just push open. He stared at them for a long time before making the conscious decision to go in.
Chapter 5. Ash pushed the heavy door open and looked at his office for the first time. The first thing he saw was an enormous wooden desk. It was stained a dark mahogany and had delicate designs carved into the wood. Behind it was a tall-backed leather chair. However, what really caught his attention was the huge man sitting in that chair. He was bigger than Ash, with shoulder-length black hair, chainmail on his chest, and a huge set of shimmering white wings. There was a steel helmet sitting on the desk, and a huge steel sword propped up against the side. The angel's feet were settled on the corner of the desk, and he was tossing potato chips into his mouth, four or five at a time. "What the hell?" Ash asked.
"Oh hey, you're back,"
the angel said, crossing his ankles, still on the desk.
"I've been waiting for you. What took so damn long?"
"Who are you?" Ash asked. There was something about the angel he couldn't quite place his finger on. The angel dropped his feet from Ash's desk and sat up in the chair. He wiped his salt and grease-covered hand on his pants. Then he stuck a hand out to Ash.
"Name's Antonio, Warrior Angel. Nice to meet you."
Ash stared at the offered hand for a moment before taking it. The angel gripped his hand and pumped it up and down enthusiastically several times before releasing it. Ash felt the need to wipe his own hand on his jeans to remove the potato chip debris.
"Yeah, nice to meet you too. What are you doing here?" Ash said. "We all got a job to do," Antonio said, around yet another mouthful of chips. "My job is to help you get situated here, and to help you find your elite guard."
Ash let a heavy sigh escape his chest. Elite guard? Why? And how? And the questions were piling up in his head faster than he could process them. Suddenly, the weight of the day settled on him, and Ash's legs threatened to give way under him.
"Hey man, you don't look so good. Here, have a seat,"
Antonio said, motioning to the chair. Ash nodded once and allowed himself to fall into the plush leather. It surrounded him like a hug, and he sank into the soft cushions. He leaned his head back, closed his eyes, and tried to will a pounding headache into submission.
"You should really de-stress a bit," Antonio offered. "Chip?"
Ash opened one eye to see the angel holding the bag in his direction.
"No thanks," he said, quietly. "Okay, but you don't know what you're missing," Antonio said.
The angel kept talking, but Ash tuned it out. After all he had been through over the course of one day, after all he had seen, the angel was just too much. Ash was sure that he was going to have to revisit the elite guard talk, and he was sure there were many things he was going to have to do eventually. But at that moment, all he could concentrate on was the jackhammer in his brain. Ash settled deeper into the comfortable chair and willed his mind to clear. He put aside the different sanctions and their leaders. He put aside the suffering he had witnessed.
He shoved his qualms about leading hell into the back of his brain and concentrated on breathing. In, out, in, out.
Then, Ash was flying. His brand spanking new black wings were carrying him over the city he had grown up in. He flew over his home and, for the first time, saw his house from an aerial perspective. He noted that his trees needed trimming. What an asinine thought to have, in light of all that had happened. He flew over the streets and flew over the church where he had gone to seek guidance. It was dark now, not a single light on. Those beautiful windows he admired before were now broken and dark. It was as if the church had been abandoned for years, not the beautiful sanctuary he had visited before. It very well may have been, too. If Ash had learned anything, it was that things are not always as they seem. He flew further and found himself circling the hospital. He flew over the roof and the helipad, watching as a patient was pulled off the chopper and onto a gurney. He watched as a patient was wheeled into the hospital at breakneck speeds. He hoped the poor sap made it. He had the urge to land and go inside. He didn't know why, but he felt like there was something pulling him toward it. Ash shook off the feeling and flew further east. He flew over mountains and forests. When he reached the coast, he flew over the Atlantic. Ash was flying over Europe when he heard the strangest noise. It almost sounded like a cat that was stuck in a washing machine while it was running. Ash turned his head toward the sound, but he could see nothing causing it. His brows wrinkled together, and he flew in the direction he thought it was coming from. The noise got louder, and Ash flew faster. What the fuck was that? Ash opened his eyes and realized that he had fallen asleep. He was slumped over sideways in his new office chair, and someone had shoved a makeshift pillow under his head. He tried to pick his head up, only to find that his neck muscles were locked up tight. Oh, that weird cat-in-the-washer noise was still going on, only louder. Ash lifted his whole body to a proper sitting position, except his head, which was still stuck somewhat at a sideways angle, to see that angel he met standing in front of a panel of TV screens. And the noise? That was the angel, singing,
"I don't know what I would do without you,"
the angel bellowed. Ash cringed. He thought that angel singing was supposed to be glorious and divine. This was anything but. This was torture. Ash felt both of his ears to make sure they weren't bleeding. They weren't. Not yet. "For the love of everything holy," Ash grumbled.
"Oh good, you're awake,"
the angel said with a toothy grin. What was his name? Antonio, that's right.
"I was starting to think you were going to sleep the century away. Want some coffee?"
Ash noticed the angel was holding a cup of brew, and there was a pot simmering on a table next to the wall of TV screens. "Yeah," Ash answered, pushing to his feet and walking over to make himself a cup. "What time is it?"
"Hell if I know,"
Antonio answered him.
"Let me check."
Closed his eyes for a moment and then looked back to Ash.
"It is noon in L.A., 1 in Houston, 2 in Cincinnati, and 3 in New York."
Ash cut him off. "What time is it here?" he grumbled.
"Oh, nobody knows. Hell doesn't have time. It exists independently of time and space."
Antonio took a sip of his coffee.
"Well, feels like a day here. Could be a year on Earth."
"A year? A freaking year. How long in Earth time have I been down here?" Ash asked him.
"I would say about 6 months, give or take a few days."
Antonio made himself comfortable in Ash's chair again. "I need to go check on my sister," Ash said, turning for the door.
"You don't need to leave to do that,"
Antonio told him, just as Ash's hand landed on the knob. Ash turned to look at the warrior. "How's that?"
"Come on, let me show you,"
the angel said. He walked to another door and opened it.
"Well, come on,"
he said with an expectant look. Ash shrugged his shoulders. What could it hurt? He followed Antonio into the next room. The walls were black, and there was a black leather sofa against the wall. There was a light in the center of the ceiling, but it didn't really give off much light. The only other thing in the room was an old mirror. It was as tall as Ash and wide as a door. The frame around it was gilded silver. It glimmered in the dim light, and the glass seemed to move, but didn't. "What is this?" Ash asked. Antonio waved a hand around the room.
"I know your predecessor wasn't much for decorating. I really think with some better lighting and maybe some throw pillows, this room could be more useful. But Lucy was all about the doom and gloom."
"Lucy?" Ash asked as his eyebrow kissed his hairline.
"Yeah, Lucifer."
Antonio shrugged as if Ash should have known what he was talking about.
"He wasn't very friendly. In fact, I never cared much for him."
"You knew him?" Ash asked. He couldn't believe all the one-liners coming out of his mouth, but it was just so much to take in.
"Not really," Antonio answered. "But he was around for a long time. This angel gig, it's pretty new to me too. But I have figured a few things out. I got this job with you by helping my family stop Lucy's son. He was a twisted fuck, that's for sure. Heck, defending my family is what landed me with wings in the first place."
Ash let his eyes travel over the dimly lit room. What in the hell had he gotten himself into? Hell, that was exactly what. He remembered the investigating he had done while trying to figure out how to get out of Shaq's grip. He heard how Stefan, Lucifer's son, had killed his father and was on some psycho revenge mission. And this angel claimed to have had a hand in Stefan's demise. He knew his brain was already on overload, but he had to know more. "Before you were an angel," Ash started. Antonio grinned at him and showed a pair of shiny sharp fangs, where any human would have incisors.
"Yep, I was a vamp. Technically, I guess I still am," Antonio offered. "I can feed, but no worries. I only do that for my mate. These things," he pointed at his mouth, "became useless for my survival the day God gave me wings. I can eat food now, and run in the sun, or fly, or any number of fabulous things that any self-respecting vampire would be green with envy over."
Ash couldn't help but smile at the proud look in the angel-slash-vampire's eyes. The look of love that crossed his face when he talked about his mate was exceedingly obvious, as was the flicker of something that almost looked like nostalgia. He missed his mate. This vamp was away from her to help Ash.
"So you were given wings and made an angel for stopping Stefan?" Ash asked him.
Antonio laughed.
"Nope, had the wings before that. I only had to die for my family twice to get them."
"Twice?" Ash asked in an unnaturally high pitch.
"Yeah," Antonio said. "But that's a whole other book in my life. We'll get into that some other time. Right now, I want to focus on getting you settled here. Ash was feeling some mad respect for the irritating potato chip-eating angel, who couldn't sing to save his own life. He felt his head nodding in agreement, even though he didn't make the decision to do it. Ash's wings flicked at his back, as if they were itching to spread out, to move. I get that, Ash said. Let's do it. What is in this room that is going to help me see Lily? Antonio walked over to the mirror. He smiled in it, checked out his own fangs, turned around and tossed his head over his shoulder. Do these leather pants make my butt look fat? He asked Ash with all seriousness. Surely he heard the angel wrong. I'm sorry, what? Ash asked. Antonio laughed. Man, you should have seen your face, he barked out. Laughter rolled out of the angel's mouth. At least it was better than his singing. Ash felt his neck getting hot. Just joking, man, Antonio told him. This here is the mirror of the soul. I can't work it, never could, and never will. Only you can see in the mirror. Ash walked over to stand next to Antonio. He saw the angel and he saw himself in the mirror. Man, he looked like shit. But the wings, they were still impressive, even with the dark circles under his eyes and the bad hair day going on. You gotta touch it, Antonio said. Ash reached his hand forward and tentatively laid it on the glass. The image changed from himself and Antonio. First it was filled with swirling, foggy-looking stuff. Then it began to clear, and he saw his sister. She was milling around her home, picking up. He watched as she tossed a shirt into the laundry hamper and then went to work on her kitchen. It was weird, watching her when she didn't know it. He almost felt like a peeping Tom, as he watched her go about her life as if the whole world hadn't changed. Ash realized something. For her, it hadn't. Only his world had been turned upside down. With the demon dead, Ash's sister would be safe. She could live out her normal life, and he never had to worry about her safety from a demon again. It was he who had struck the deal that ultimately led him down this path in life. While he was desperately trying to make heads or tails of this new life, Lily was going about hers as if nothing had happened. He felt a kind of peace settle in his stomach. He drew in a deep breath and let it out slowly. Lily was safe. He could hardly wrap his head around that kind of relief. The thing he had lived his entire life for had been accomplished, and now he was being rewarded. He had a hard time looking at this new job leading hell as a reward, but if it meant that he could continue to keep his sister safe, then Ash was going to do it. Not only was he going to put his heart and soul into it, but he was going to be the best damn leader hell ever had. Not that his predecessor was hard to top. Lucifer had been evil down to his bones. He had been twisted, vindictive, and all the things that would have led a soul to hell in the first place. Ash was none of those, he hoped. What's on your brain? Antonio asked him, bringing him back to here and now. I was just thinking how wonderful it is to see her so happy and safe, Ash replied. Yeah, we're going to have to drop by once in a while, though, Antonio told him. She's going to start to wonder where her big brother disappeared to. Yeah, Ash nodded. Real soon. But first, your guard. Ash turned to look at the warrior. Why exactly do I need a guard? You need 5 guards, Antonio corrected him. And you need to pick them from the human population. Why is that? Ash asked. Why not pick from the leaders here? Antonio rolled his eyes. Because the leaders here need to lead their sanctions. They already have a job to do. You need fresh eyes and fresh muscle to keep your ass and the whole of the kingdom safe. Who would go against me? Ash remarked with a stupid grin. I'm the freaking king of hell. Come on, Antonio said, leaving the room. Ash followed him back to the room where his desk was. On the wall were hundreds of television screens. On this wall, Antonio told him, is every realm of hell. You can see whatever you want, whenever you want, at all times. Ash let his eyes wander over the wall. He could see the sanctions and their inhabitants, as well as the leaders. It was a bit much to watch, though. Look here, Antonio said, pointing to one of the screens. Listen. Ash trained his attention on that screen, and the volume was suddenly loud enough to hear. There were 2 demons talking to each other in a dark hallway.
I'm just saying that he knows nothing of how things work down here, a demon said to another one. Why should we follow him blindly?
I agree,
the other demon said.
But what can we do?
I have a plan, the first one said.
He draped his arm over the other demon's shoulders, and they turned away from the view. They walked side by side until they were out of sight.
See? Antonio said. There is always going to be those who will oppose you. Not just here. On Earth, too. There will always be troublemakers. Look at Stefan.
You need more than just yourself to keep things going right here. Ash nodded in agreement. Okay, then. What do we do first?
Chapter 6.
Ash couldn't feel the floor under his feet for a moment, and threw out an arm to catch himself on. Well, anything. What he caught was the arm of the warrior angel beside him. He was off balance, and the heavy sword at his hip was pulling him to the right.
Wicked cool the first time, right?
Antonio grinned, holding Ash's arm while he got his bearings. That was different, Ash grumbled. He had executed his first flash from hell to earth. That's what Antonio had called it. The ability to move from one realm to another, instantaneously. It was different from the way Ash had moved before. The amulet had helped him, but it took longer and was less disorientating. He looked around and noticed that he was surrounded by rolling hills and trees. There was a river running off to the east, and something inside Ash just knew that he was on Earth, and somewhere in Montana. In his mind, he could see something like a map, and a little blip where he stood.
Don't worry, man. It goes away after a bit, and before you know it, you'll be flashing back and forth like you've been doing it your whole life.
Antonio finally let go, and Ash was left to stand on his own two feet. It will be second nature, Antonio continued, like flying. That is when Ash remembered that he had wings. Huge, gorgeous wings that he had yet to use, unless he wanted to count dreaming, which he didn't. He hadn't forgotten that they were there, but they were such an intricate addition to his body that it felt natural, as if they had always been there. He felt the corner of his mouth twitch in an urge to grin like an idiot.
I know that look, Antonio grinned. Ready to try them out?
Ash nodded and let loose the smile he had been holding back.
Yeah, let's do this, he said.
He willed his wings to spread and they obeyed. They stretched out behind him, twitching, with the need to let go. He was prepared to feel that incredible freedom he felt in his dream. He coiled all of his muscles tight in preparation, and then he pushed against the ground with his legs, and jumped into the air, and proceeded to land directly on his ass. He had only jumped about 4 feet into the air before gravity slapped him back down. Wild hoots of laughter erupted from the warrior. Ash felt the sides of his neck getting hot, and then the heat traveled to his face. Not only was he embarrassed, but the fucking angel was laughing at him. Laughing at him. Ash pushed to his feet and dusted off his backside. Antonio was still laughing. Ash wanted to punch him right in his stupid face. Didn't anyone ever teach the man not to laugh at others? He turned to glare at Antonio. And that was when Antonio stopped laughing.
Whoa, dude!
He said, putting both hands up in a defensive gesture. That right there is something you gotta control. What the fuck are you talking about? Ash growled at him. Your eyes, man, Antonio answered. They're fucking glowing red like hot coals. Kinda making me fear for my own well-being. He backed up several steps. In my defense, it was funny as shit to see you land on your ass. Hot coals? Oh, what the hell was going on? Yeah, man, your temper is making your eyes red. You know, to strike fear into the hearts of demons that would cross you. You got some serious mojo now, man. And I don't want to be the first recipient. Antonio backed up a bit. I thought I could fly, Ash grumbled. What good were wings if he couldn't fly? He breathed slowly to get a grip on himself. He didn't know what kind of power he had, but he didn't want it flying around unleashed. First fly, then deal with the hot coals issue. Antonio chuckled.
You can! You have the appropriate appendages to do it. But you gotta learn to fly before you can just leap into the air and take off.
Ash was still embarrassed. He was the leader of hell. Hell! Yet he couldn't fly. He let out a heavy sigh. Okay, then what do I do? Antonio shrugged his shoulders. I don't know that there is a right or wrong way to do it. It's different for everyone. Ash was going to punch him, in the face, probably with the sword that was hanging at his hip. He squashed the urge and tried to speak calmly. Aren't you supposed to be here to help me? He asked, more than a little irritated. Because right now, you ain't much help. Antonio smiled at him. Fucker. Just tell me what you did to learn to fly. Just tell me what you did to learn to fly, Ash said through clenched teeth. I just imagined myself in the air, Antonio said. Then I started to beat my wings and poof! Airborne! Poof, Ash repeated. This angel slash warrior slash vampire was going to be the death of him. Ash just knew it. Try beating your wings, Antonio said. Ash did it. He told his wings to spread, and they did as he commanded. He raised them and pushed them down several times. Good, Antonio said. Now do it harder, like you're pushing the air down with them. Ash pushed his wings harder. He started to kick up a good breeze with them. Harder, Antonio said. You ain't gonna break them. Ash pushed harder, until he was making enough wind to toss the angel's hair around. Keep it up, he heard the angel say. More! Now the angel was shouting. Ash pushed and pushed with his wings. He pushed hard enough that the force lifted his body from the ground. He kept beating his wings against the air. Higher and higher he rose into the sky. Great! Antonio grinned at him. He was in the air as well, but it seemed like he was using a lot less effort than Ash was. Okay, Ash called loud enough to be heard over the wind. Now what? Now you tilt yourself forward and go, Antonio said just before taking his own advice and shooting across the sky with ease. Ash watched him go half a mile in about a second or two. Then he did as the angel said. He tilted himself forward by pushing his legs back and his head down and tipped all the way over. He was still beating his wings. So as his head lowered and his feet went back, the force of his wings propelled him faster until he was feet up in the air and head to the ground. He flailed his arms and righted himself, but couldn't stop fast enough and was tossed over again. And again. He was spinning in the air like a fucking pinwheel. He could hear the laughter coming across the skies and getting louder as Antonio got closer. At least the angel was going to help him. Or so he thought. Pinwheel, pinwheel, spinning around, Antonio sang. Would you please help me? Ash shouted. He was starting to feel sick. What do you want me to do? Antonio asked. If I grab you, then I'm going round with you. I can help once you get a hold on your directional difficulties. How do I fucking stop, you idiot? Ash bellowed. I'm gonna fucking puke any second. Well, that's gonna be gross, Antonio remarked. Just stop flapping your damn wings. Ash did as Antonio instructed and stopped moving his wings. And then he started to fall. Ash wanted to close his eyes as the earth rushed up to meet him, but he couldn't. His own body had turned traitor on him, and he watched as certain death rushed to meet him. Faster and faster he fell, head first, of course. How the fuck high up had he been, anyway? He had never imagined falling from the sky, but he would have thought it wouldn't have taken so long. Time seemed to slow down as he plummeted toward his own death. Spread your wings, Antonio was shouting behind him. Ash was having trouble concentrating on anything but dying right at that moment. Dude, spread your fucking wings, or else you're gonna be splatter. At some point, his wings had folded and were lying flat against his back, and Ash couldn't remember how to open them. Open. Open. Open, he thought at his wings. The ground was coming fast, and Ash felt a peace settle over him. He accepted his fate, all because his stupid wings wouldn't open. Just before he would have crashed violently into the waiting brush beneath him, Ash's fall leveled out and he began to float horizontally, just a few feet above the ground. He craned his neck and looked behind him to see that his wings had opened. Woohoo! Antonio yelled as he flew up beside him. Man, I thought you were toast! Now fly, damn it! Ash couldn't believe it. He was flying, fucking flying. He lifted his head so that he could see the sky and pushed his wings, rising higher and higher in altitude. He soared across the valley and finally let go of everything. He let go of his worries, his fear, and his inhibitions. Hell yeah! He screamed into the sky, as he learned very quickly to maneuver. He watched the trees pass under him and felt free, free of everything. His teacher flew up next to him and grinned that same stupid grin that had made Ash want to punch him before. Only this time, Ash knew he was sporting the same grin. See? Antonio asked. You just had to figure it out. Now let's go find us a worthy guard. Chapter 7. It took some effort, but Ash finally got the hang of the whole flying thing. He could dart left and right, climb higher or drop lower. He could even soar on the wind. The whole thing was just too fucking wonderful to stay mad at Antonio for being, well, for being Antonio. It was his personality, the way he was. Ash had a hard time believing that this all-fun-and-games, light-hearted idiot was a fierce warrior for the heavens. But you should never judge a book by its cover, right? There, the angel in question yelled out over the wind. He pointed to a burning building below. Heavy black smoke was spiraling into the air as flames licked toward the sky. Emergency responders were on site, several fire trucks and police vehicles, and twice as many human bodies working to get the blaze under control. What do we do? Ash asked, doing his best to hover in the sky. We watch. Antonio hovered beside him. Watch what? I don't know what I'm looking for, Ash reminded him. Great courage and selflessness are key characteristics in a warrior. A warrior in life makes a good warrior in the afterlife, too, Antonio said, as if Ash should have already known that. I figure a blaze is a good place to start looking. Ash watched as the first responders dumped water from their trucks on the blaze. It wasn't looking like they were going to get the fire reined in. I don't think this fire is giving up, Ash mused. Let's take a closer look, Antonio said, and started toward the blaze.
Wait, Ash said, grabbing Antonio by the arm. What if they see us? I know there are supernaturals, but it isn't every day one sees a couple of angels.
Antonio grinned. No human can see an angel unless we want to be seen. As long as you don't want anyone to see you, they won't.
Oh, Ash said. Made sense. Okay, let's go. The pair dove down, and Antonio flew right into the burning building. Ash followed, and when Antonio landed on the second story, Ash was right behind him. He tried to slow his speed, but landing was not something Ash had learned to do. So when his feet hit the floor, his top half kept going. He toppled over, and the only thing Ash could do was tuck and roll with it.
I would give the landing a 3, but a 10 for the rebound.
Antonio whooped into the air. Ash stood and brushed himself off. Suck it, he barked at the angel. There were violent flames all around them, chewing up everything in sight. Neither the flames nor the heat had any effect on the angels, though. They were free to watch. When Ash heard someone calling for help, his first reaction was to head toward that voice and get the person out of the fire. But Antonio stopped him.
We can't help, he said. We have to let things play out.
What if that person dies? Ash demanded. I can help.
If that person dies, then that is the way it's supposed to be,
Antonio said. Ash grumbled. He hated that he couldn't help. He understood, but that didn't mean he liked it. He watched as the firefighters moved through the burning building. The blaze became too much for them, and one by one, they had no choice but to go back out. There was still a man crying out for help. Ash watched as one fireman leaped over a wall of flames and used his body to break through a wall. Flames swallowed him up, but Ash had to follow him. He watched as the man fought through the flames and finally to the person who needed help. Here, the fireman told the man, put this on. He had given the man his oxygen mask. I'm going to try not to hurt you, but we're going to get out of this alive. I need you to trust me and hold on for the ride. The man was holding the mask over his face and nodded. The fireman hauled him up and over his shoulder. Sit tight, princess. We're getting out of this castle, he grinned, and took off running. He leaped over a fallen beam that was burning and tried to make his way back to the steps. A huge wall of flame stopped him. Shit, the fireman grumbled. He turned and searched for another way out. Ash could see through the fire and could see there was another set of stairs on the opposite wall. He blew gently in that direction and the flames flickered down, just enough for the fireman to see the exit sign above the second set of stairs.
The fireman leapt into action and hauled his cargo to the stairs. He went down them, two at a time, until they reached the end.
They crashed through the heavy door at the bottom into the fresh air. They were greeted by EMTs, who helped take the man from his shoulders.
I have to go back and make sure there is no one else, the fireman announced.
The EMT shook his head. You can't, he said.
The hell I can't, he tried to go back inside. But a man even bigger than he was stepped in front of him.
Move, Captain, he demanded. The captain just put his hand on the fireman's shoulder. I need you alive. We have evacuated the building. No one goes back in.
But, no buts, the captain insisted. I don't know how you got him out, but you saved his life. Now I feel like I have to save yours. Because if you go back in there, you're toast. Stay out. That's an order.
Ash watched as the fireman sank to a sitting position, deflated by the order of his superior. I like him, Ash announced.
Yeah?
Antonio grinned.
Yeah, Ash agreed. He's bullheaded, selfless, and follows orders. And he's huge.
So what now?
Now you mark him, and we wait for him to die, Antonio said.
I'm not killing him, Ash barked.
Antonio laughed. No, silly. You mark him so you will always know where he is. When he dies, as humans do, he becomes yours.
I don't want his soul, Ash grumbled.
You don't get his soul. He has to accept your offer. Just don't worry with it right now, Antonio said. Just go mark him.
He accented his words with a not-so-gentle shove between Ash's shoulders. I don't know how to do that, Ash reminded him.
I don't either, Antonio said. I guess you just touch him with that in mind. I don't know, just try it. I'm hungry over here.
Ash rolled his eyes and went over to the fireman. He laid his hand on the man's shoulder. The man shivered for a second and looked around, but then went back to breathing the oxygen that the EMT insisted he breathe.
All done? Antonio asked.
Ash shrugged his shoulders. I guess.
Great, now let's get some food.
Antonio grinned and leapt into the sky. Ash followed him. They flew for a while in comfortable silence. Ash even dared to think that the warrior was growing on him. He even almost sort of liked him. Ash had a feeling of accomplishment, which was a welcome change from the overwhelming dump of information he had received lately. Ash was trying to take everything he had learned, everything he had been shown, and file it away in neat little compartments in his brain. That was working about as well as a bull in a china shop. He imagined his brain looked more like the city dump and less like an organized office. As he flew, he made a conscious effort to let go of the stress he had been under. He smiled as they passed a flock of geese that were no doubt heading south for the winter. He was really going to enjoy this part of his job, the freedom. A part of him wondered what his sister was up to, as if he knew exactly what Ash was thinking.
Antonio said, "Hey, let's go see about that sister of yours."
Ash nodded his head, and they were on their way.
Chapter 8. Leanne was sitting directly across from Elizabeth in the small sandwich shop. "So how are things going on the OB floor these days?" she asked her new friend. Elizabeth was a doctor in the ER when Leanne's brother had been shot. Thanks to her, Ash had survived what would have been a fatal wound otherwise. Leanne was engaged to the doctor who had been on call that night, James Tucker, but he hadn't been there fast enough. Elizabeth had, so it was easy for Leanne to form a fast friendship with the doc. She had moved herself out of the ER and onto the OBGYN floor shortly after Ash disappeared. That brother of hers was always doing that. It worried Leanne a bit that he had been gone so long this time. Normally, he would disappear for days or even weeks at a time, but this time he had been MIA for months. However, he was a big boy and could take care of himself. She wished he would answer his damn phone.
"I like it," Elizabeth answered her. She cut a piece of her sandwich off and popped it into her mouth. "I much prefer bringing life into the world than seeing it out."
"I get that," Leanne agreed. "How's the wedding plans coming?" Elizabeth asked her.
"Pretty good," Leanne answered her. "I wish I could get a hold of Ash, though. I want him to walk me down the aisle."
"Still no word from him?" Elizabeth asked. She was more concerned than she thought she should be about that. She knew that she had operated on Leanne's brother, but for the life of her, she couldn't remember the man's face.
"Nope," Leanne told her. "I know he's off doing whatever it is that he does, but damn, he could at least answer the phone."
"Men are real considerate sometimes," Elizabeth said. "How's James doing with all the wedding plans?" Leanne barked out a laugh. "He is staying as far away from it as possible. He says whatever I want, he will go along with it, just as long as at the end of the day, we're married." Elizabeth nodded her approval. Just then, the hairs on the back of her neck stood up. She felt as if someone were watching her intently. She looked around the restaurant but didn't see anything out of sorts. Leanne was still talking about wedding plans, but Elizabeth couldn't concentrate. She felt a tight squeeze in her chest and suddenly felt like crying. Damn depression, she thought, choking back the tears and covering it with a cough. Ash watched his sister eating lunch with a beautiful brunette woman. She was wearing hospital scrubs, so he assumed she was someone who worked with his sister's fiancé. He watched in silence as they talked wedding preparations. He saw that Lily was well and healthy, and hadn't missed that she wanted to talk to him, but he couldn't keep his eyes off her friend. Who was she? And more importantly, why did his dick think that he should go over and ravage her immediately? Antonio's head whipped back and forth from Ash to Elizabeth, as he watched the new leader of hell become completely enraptured with the dark-haired woman, sitting across from his sister. A smile played across his lips. Yep, that was her. Antonio had been given a double mission with this one. First, help Ash get assimilated into his new position and pick out his guard. Second, get him back together with the love of his life. Antonio had been given the story of how Ash had asked God to make them forget each other, but Ash's power to lead had been forged by the love he had for this woman. She was meant to be his mate, the one who completed his soul, balanced him out, and was meant to be by his side forever. From the looks of things, she was definitely his mate. Of course, it wasn't as easy as just telling Ash that the woman was his. No, he had to find a way to make it happen between the pair, without running his mouth. The big guy, God, would never take something as important as a mate away from anyone, not a vampire, not a shifter, and not a human. Although he had honored Ash's request, he had put in a little loophole. He didn't always give people what they wanted, but God always gave them what they needed.
and Ash needed his mate. That loophole? Easy peasy. They just had to touch, skin to skin, and everything they had forgotten would be restored. They already remembered little flashes, a sound, or a feeling. They just didn't know what it meant. Antonio intended to change that. Of course, Ash was acting like a man without his mate. He was bitchy, grumbly, and although he had kept it in check so far, prone to violence, it was only going to get worse. Antonio felt a smile play on his lips as he watched Ash pretend not to be interested in her. Now if he could just orchestrate it perfectly. "How do I make her see me?" Ash asked, yanking Antonio out of his own head. "Shit," Antonio snapped and grabbed Ash by the arm. He flashed them both out of the sandwich shop and around the corner into an empty alley. "What the fuck?" Ash demanded. "You made yourself visible," Antonio answered. "You can't just be appearing out of thin air like that. People are smart as individuals, but as a whole, they are panicky, easily frightened creatures. You have to think, man." "I was thinking," Ash shouted back at him. "I was thinking that I wanted to talk to my fucking sister." "And that is how you became visible," Antonio shouted right back at him. "First you gotta hide your wings, then make yourself visible. And do it where you ain't gonna scare the shit out of someone." Ash fisted his hands at his sides. Yep, he was gonna punch the fucker. He took back all those thoughts he had about maybe liking this dick rash. He knew the angel was there to help, but right now, he was seriously cock-blocking him. He wanted to talk to Lily, and he wanted to talk to the brunette. There was a deep growling noise emanating from his chest, and Ash was powerless to stop it. Before he could rein in his temper, Ash was all over that vampire angel like stink on shit, throwing his body at him and tackling him to the ground. They rolled around a bit before Antonio flashed away from him. "Man, what did I say? You gotta get a grip on your temper," Antonio barked from the other end of the alley. He shook his head. The leader of hell could easily dispatch his ass if he wanted to. Luckily, he didn't know how to use the power God had given him. Ash stood and glared at him. "Fuck you, man," he growled. "Pff, fuck you," Antonio replied. Ash knew he had lost his shit. "Look," he grumbled. "It's all good," Antonio replied, brushing off his pants and the squabble at the same time. "Now how about we hide these wings and get visible? I want a fucking sandwich." Ash noticed that Antonio had also ditched the chainmail and was now wearing a black t-shirt and jeans. Ash nodded. He imagined his wings disappearing, and they did. Then he willed himself to be seen by everyone. He felt the earth tilt slightly under his feet for a split second. Then it was as if he were just the same as he always was. "Great," Antonio announced, clapping him on the back. "Let's eat." Chapter 9. They entered the front door of the sandwich shop like any other, non-angel, humans would. He saw his sister at the same time she saw him. "Ash!" she yelled and got up from her chair, causing it to fall back and clatter on the tile floor. She ran across the room and leapt into his arms. He picked her up easily and spun her around. "Hey, little sister," he said with a genuine smile. "How's it going?" he asked as he gently sat her back on her feet. He looked down into her eyes and was rewarded with a spark of happiness he saw there. "You ass," she barked and slapped his chest. "Where the hell have you been?" He couldn't tell her that hell was exactly where he had been. "I'm afraid that's my fault," Antonio offered. Was it just his imagination, or had the angel taken on a heavier accent? He had spoken with a bit of Spanish accent before, but it seemed a lot heavier now. "Oh, hi," Leanne said, as if she just noticed him. "I'm Leanne." "Antonio," he said, taking her hand and shaking it. "Yeah, that's great. Can we sit?" Ash interrupted. "Yes," Leanne exclaimed. "Come sit at our table." She led them to the table she shared with Elizabeth. "Ash, you remember Dr. Roan," she said. Ash stared at the woman. Dark chocolate eyes stared back up at him. Man, she was pretty, he thought. He started to put his hand out to shake hers, but she only nodded at him, so he did the same, raising his hand and running it through his hair instead. Awkward. Ash took a seat on the side of the table, placing himself between Dr. Roan and his sister and across from Antonio. Of course, that also put Antonio between his sister and Dr. Roan. Ash pursed his lips and bit the inside of his cheek. Antonio already said he was mated, or married, or something. He just couldn't help it. He didn't want the angel anywhere near his sister or her friend, with that freaking suave accent and all that black hair. Who was he kidding? Antonio was every girl's wet dream, and there was no way he didn't know it. Hell, Ash was a guy and he knew it. Fucker. Ash had never been jealous. What the hell was wrong with him? Ash, are you okay?
Leanne asked him. You're growling, I think. Ash made a show of clearing his throat.
No, sorry. I just had something in my throat. Now, what have I told you about things in your throat?
Antonio said with a wag of his brow.
Deep throating will do that to you.
Leanne and Elizabeth both spit their drinks through their noses at the same time and burst out laughing.
I didn't know you swung that way, big brother,
Leanne snorted.
Antonio opened his mouth and started singing All Night Long by Lionel Richie. He even started shifting his hips in the chair in a weird kind of butt dance.
Ash knew it. He was going to kill Antonio before it was done and over with, but not quickly. No, he was going to find a way to make him suffer. He was going to cut out his vocal cords first. Then he was going to cut off that hair. Man needed a haircut anyway. Then he was going to peel the fucker's skin right off his body.
I'm sorry, Antonio offered. I think I offended him. He looks like he is planning my slow, painful death.
You have no idea, Ash grumbled.
Okay, okay, Antonio backed off. I was just kidding with ya. No need to get your panties in a twist.
I like him, Leanne offered. He's fun. It's about time he started hanging out with fun people.
It's not by choice, Ash mumbled.
We're partners on a new project, Antonio told the women. We're building a new construction down south and trying to get it up and running as smoothly as possible.
He kept talking and Ash nodded in the appropriate places. Ash had always told his sister that he was into architecture, so the lie that was really not so much of a lie, falling off the angel's lips, was very believable.
Anyway, he wanted to see you, so we made the trip here just for that. Lucky we got hungry the same time you did.
Yeah, lucky, Ash agreed.
Well, can you be here for the wedding? Leanne asked. I want you to give me away.
Ash felt his heart fill with love for his sister. She was happy, safe, all the things he has wanted for her. Everything was worth it.
Of course I will, he said, taking her hand in his own and giving it a squeeze.
Thank you, she said. I was worried before that you wouldn't approve, but after James and Elizabeth here patched you up, I just knew you would have a change of heart.
Patch me up? Ash asked with a raised brow.
Yeah, silly, when you were shot. Elizabeth saved your butt, remember? Ash looked at Elizabeth.
You will not die. The words rang in his head like something he should remember, but he didn't.
I'm sorry, he said. I don't remember much about that time frame. Guess getting shot will do that to you.
Yeah, it sure will, Elizabeth agreed.
Don't feel bad. I have a hard time remembering things that happened while under the influence of adrenaline. What she wasn't telling them was, even though she knew she had operated on him, she couldn't remember any of the details. She had written meticulous notes in his chart, which was how she remembered as much as she did, which wasn't much. In her notes, she wrote that she had held Ash's heart in her hands. How could she not remember that?
She had convinced herself that it was the adrenaline, and that the depression she was suffering from was causing lapses in her memory.
Of course you wouldn't remember much, Leanne reminded Ash. You were heavily drugged, and you left the hospital AMA. It's a wonder you survived at all. Hell, it's a wonder you survived taking a shower every day. Ash inclined his head at his sister.
Touché, he grinned at her, then turned his attention to the doctor.
So you work in the hospital, he asked her.
Elizabeth nodded. I used to work trauma, but not anymore. It just doesn't hold the fascination that it used to, she said. Now I work in OB.
Ash nodded. That's a respectable change. He shoved a bite of his sandwich in his mouth and reached for the salt for his fries.
Elizabeth was reaching for it as well. Ash stopped his hand mere centimeters from hers.
Oh, sorry, he said.
No worries, she chimed as she grabbed the shaker and salted her food. Antonio rolled his eyes.
Maybe if he punched Ash in the nose and bloodied it, she would fix him up. They would be touching then.
On the other hand, maybe he needed to trip Ash while he was in close proximity to the woman. Or he could push her. He cringed at the thought of pushing a woman, no matter the reason. They sat and made small talk until the food was gone, and Ash had promised to be there in a month for his sister's wedding. Antonio didn't get them to touch each other, but there was still time. There would be many more opportunities to put the pair together. He would see to it, even if it killed him.
Chapter 10. That was fun, Antonio said, as they walked around the side of the sandwich shop. We should get back, though.
Ash's eyes darted over to look at the angel without turning his head.
Yeah, I guess, he said. He was sorry to have to leave his sister again, and he was sorry to leave her friend. There was just something about her that he couldn't nail down. He knew that she patched him up, but he didn't remember that. It felt like something else. Something bigger. But what? Ash shrugged and decided that it was better not to worry over it. He had so many other things to deal with at the moment. As they rounded the corner, they made themselves invisible again. Back to hell? Ash asked. Home sweet home, Antonio said with a smile. At least it's your home. Ash grumbled something unintelligible and nodded. Okay, let's do this. He concentrated on going back to his office as Antonio said, and in a flash, he was there. I'm beat, Antonio announced. Going home for the night, but if you need me, just call out and I'll be here in a flash. Ash nodded and watched the angel disappear into thin air. Then he was alone in his office. He wandered over to the wall of screens and checked in on each of the sanctions. Everything seemed to be running as it was supposed to, so he moved on. He went into the room with the mirror and thought of Lily. The mirror changed from his own reflection to his sister kissing her fiancé. He didn't really need to see what was obviously coming next, so he thought of the doctor he had met that day. The mirror changed again, and Ash saw her. She was brushing her teeth and preparing for bed. He wanted to look away, but he couldn't. He watched until she was snug in her bed, and obviously dreaming before turning away himself. He didn't know exactly what it was about her, but she fascinated him. Even though he had only met her briefly, he just knew that she was full of fire and spunk. He knew there was more to her than meets the eye. The damnedest thing was, when he thought of her, his chest burned. He longed for things he couldn't possibly want with her. Hell, he didn't even know her. But every time he thought of her, his heart broke a little more in his chest. The scar on his chest even burned a little. Ash took himself to his bedroom. Did angels even sleep? He guessed so, since he had been dreaming before. As a precaution, Ash locked the door and slipped into a king-sized bed. Someone had been nice enough to put crisp, clean sheets on it for him. Probably Mally, he thought. As Ash felt himself falling into slumber, the last thought he had was of Elizabeth. Then he dreamed. He dreamed of deep chocolate eyes that stared at him with adoration. He dreamed of that luscious mouth open on a moan of pleasure. He saw little snippets of panties flying across the room. Ash was engulfed in the hottest dream he had ever had. He was making love to what he knew was the most beautiful woman on the planet. Even though he couldn't see her face, in his heart, he knew she was his. She was the most important thing in his life, and he promised himself, right there in this dream, that he would take care of her every need. And that is when it started. That horrendous cat in the washer sound. Again. This time, it had a guitar accompaniment. Ash peeled his eyelids open to see Antonio sitting in a chair across the room. He had an acoustic guitar in his hands and was playing it. Pretty well, actually. The bad part, he was singing. Dream a little dream, to be precise. Why, man, why? Ash grumbled and turned over, pulling the blankets over his head. No rest for the wicked, Antonio chimed. We've got work to do today. I'm in charge, right? Ash said from under the covers. Yep. Then I declare that today is do nothing but stay in bed day, he said, sinking further into the bed. Antonio laughed aloud. That sounds like a fine idea, but you have minions at your door waiting to seek your audience. Immediately, Ash thought of the little creatures that scavenge the remains of any poor soul who gets their ass beat outside one of the realms. They feed on the dead. Why would they be at his door? And why the hell would he open it? I don't think I want to open that door, Ash said, pulling the cover from his head. Minions? Not that kind, Antonio said. Your followers, the sanction leaders. You know, folks who need to report in with you on a regular basis. Ash rolled his eyes. Now is as good a time as any to sink into his new role. Okay, okay, I'm up. Give me a few and I will see them. Right on. I'll let Mally know to get them ordered and in line. Antonio put his guitar down and left Ash to get out of bed. Ash groaned as he stood up. He reached his hands over his head and felt his back stretch. His wings arched away from his back, and Ash couldn't help but grin. He was still in awe of those things. He hurried and showered. He discovered that his new appendages dried very quickly. He had been prepared to hold the blow dryer over them for about, 6 hours. But that wasn't going to be necessary. The water seemed to just fall right off them. When he couldn't procrastinate any longer, Ash took a seat behind his desk. Antonio parked his ass in a chair in the corner, and Mally was already standing by the door. Shall I let them in, sir? Mally asked. Ash took a deep breath, let it out slowly, and then he nodded. Mally opened the door, and Rogue was the first to enter. What's up, my man? He bellowed at Ash.
He ducked to avoid hitting his head on the doorframe, and Mally closed the door behind him. Rogue thrust his hand out to shake. Ash cringed inwardly as the demon shook his hand. Man had a grip. "What can I do for you?" Ash asked as he sat back in his chair. Rogue parked himself in the chair across from Ash. He leaned back and made himself comfortable.
"Nothing much today," he answered. "Everything's going well. Slugs are being eaten right on schedule. Got a few new arrivals today." Ash nodded. "That brings the count up to 12,600,038 souls in Sloth."
Rogue picked at something on his shirt.
"That sounds, nice, I guess," Ash muttered. "Is there something bothering you?" he asked. He could tell there was something on the demon's mind.
"Well," Rogue started, "it may be nothing," he said.
"But," Ash urged him to continue.
"But I have heard some talk," Rogue said covertly.
"Heard there was some who weren't happy with you being in charge and all." He sat up straight.
"I ain't one of them, just so you know. I like you. I am down with whatever the big guy says. But there are some who like the way hell was run before, you know."
He raised a brow at Ash.
"Do you know who these people are?" Ash asked him.
"Well, not exactly," Rogue told him. "I would just watch your back for a while. Maybe slaughter a few for good measure. Make an example out of someone."
Ash shuddered. "I can't do that without good cause," he said.
"I just thought you'd like to know," Rogue told him.
Ash nodded. He didn't know why, but he trusted the giant leader of Sloth.
"You'll keep me posted of anything you hear?" Ash asked.
"If that's what you want," Rogue agreed. "I'm happy to help where I can."
"Thank you," Ash said.
He shook Rogue's hand before he left the office.
"I heard that too," Mally confessed. "I don't know names, but some of the minions were talking about a deal you made with God to get here."
Ash couldn't remember making any deal.
"I didn't make a deal," he said. "All I know is that I killed a demon, and the next thing you know, I've got wings and an entire underworld to run."
"I have faith in you, sir," Mally said with a grin.
Ash really liked the weird little man. "Okay," Ash said with determination. "Who's next?"
"That would be Shelley from Greed," Mally answered.
"Well," Ash sighed, "send her in." Ash met with every member of his team. Shelley was exactly the same as she had been the first time he had met her. Tall, thin, full of herself. She had talked for what felt like an hour before Ash finally had to dismiss her. When he met with Marcus, the leader of Wrath, something just wouldn't sit right with Ash. The demon was human-sized, even looked human. Except for the fucker's eyes. They were solid black. His short dark hair was cut like any Joe Blow he would have seen on Earth. He could have easily been mistaken for a human as long as his eyes stayed closed. That wasn't what bothered Ash. He found that he was getting used to the demons and their special qualities. No, it was the fact that Marcus watched him as if he was taking notes. Ash felt like he was under a bright interrogation bulb the whole time the demon talked. It was as if the demon was searching for any sign of weakness, and Ash was careful to show none. And the slight smirk he wore was starting to piss Ash off. The little hairs on the back of his neck stood up the whole time Marcus was in his office. Ash asked him if there was anything else when Marcus declared himself finished, but the demon just smiled at him.
"No, sir," he said. "Just checking in."
Ash watched the demon leave and let out a breath he hadn't realized he was holding.
"I don't like him," Ash announced.
"Me either," Antonio agreed from his corner.
"What exactly are you doing, anyway?" Ash asked him.
"Aren't you supposed to be helping me? You have sat on your ass this whole time without saying a word. Don't get me wrong, I'm not complaining. But if you're going to be here, you could be doing something."
"I was doing something," Antonio replied with a phony, hurt expression. "I was talking to my mate."
Ash raised a brow at him, and Antonio tapped his temple.
"We've got a connection."
Ash just shook his head. He hated to admit that he didn't know shit about vampires or angels, much less hybrids. Hell, he didn't know shit about a lot of things.
"I want to check in on my fireman," Ash said, standing up and stretching his back out.
"Okay," Antonio agreed. "Let's do it."
"What exactly are you doing, anyway?" Ash asked him.
Chapter 11. Ash didn't know how he knew, but after he flashed to Earth, he knew exactly where to find his fireman. Only this time, he wasn't fighting a fire. Ash made himself visible outside of the brick building he knew his man would be in.
"What the heck is this?"
Antonio asked from beside him.
"Beats me," Ash remarked. "Sounds like there's a crowd in there, though. Let's go check it out."
Antonio nodded, and they both walked to the door that would take them inside. Ash tried to turn the knob, but found it was locked. Just about the time he decided to break it, a huge man opened it. "What's your business here?" he rumbled at them. Ash took in the guy's appearance. Tall, burly, military-style haircut. This guy was security. He looked past the guy and into the building. He listened to the gathered crowd and their chants, and what they were cheering about. "I'm here to watch the fight," Ash responded. "What makes you think there's a fight in here?" Bouncer Man asked. Ash shook his head. "Is everyone on this planet stupid? Why else would I come here?" he barked. "Let me in." "The entry fee is 12," he said, "and you can't just watch. You come in, you fight. Last man standing takes it all." 12, Ash asked him. "As in dollars?" The security guy chuckled. "This is your first time, isn't it?" he asked. $1,200. Cash. Antonio stepped up. "I think this will cover it," he said, handing the man a wad of cash. "We're coming in." The security guard looked them both up and down before nodding and taking the money. "Good luck. You may be new, but I think you got a chance. Just watch out for the flame. He's vicious." "Whatever," Ash muttered under his breath as he pushed past the bouncer. They worked their way into the open space. Ash realized that the building used to be a warehouse of sorts, but had long been abandoned. Now it was used for underground fighting, for money apparently, and a lot of it. "Where did you get that kind of money?" Ash asked Antonio when they were clear of the guard. "I'm an angel," he replied, "and so are you. We will always have whatever we need, whether it's money or food or weapons." "Just like that?" Ash asked. "It just appears." "Pretty much," Antonio said, taking a bag of popcorn off a counter and leaving a few loose bills in its place. "That's convenient," Ash replied. "Yep, so where's our guy?" Antonio asked. Ash closed his eyes and felt the room. There were so many bodies it was hard to get a lock on him, but finally, Ash could see him. "There," he said, pointing at the makeshift ring. Both men turned to look, and sure enough, the firefighter was in the ring. He was currently laying waste to another man with his bare hands. When the fireman hit the man with a hard right hook, he went down hard. He didn't get back up. "And the winner is the Flame," a different man announced. "Who's next to take on this one-man army? Who is not afraid? Who has not fought yet this evening?" Ash looked sideways at Antonio. "Oh, no," Antonio said. "I don't think so." "Come on," Ash urged him. He was prepared to launch a full argument as to why Antonio needed to have his ass kicked by this mortal man, but a woman behind them did the job for him. "Right here," she called out. "This one hasn't fought yet." She was pointing to Antonio. He shot her a glare before turning his attention to the ring. "Come on down," the announcer said. "Or are you too scared?" "I ain't scared of shit," Antonio announced as he made his way to the ring. "Don't kill him, I need him," Ash said. Antonio replied with a one-finger salute over his head. Ash smiled. "And what's your name?" the announcer asked as the Flame danced on his feet in the corner.
"I am the Spaniard," Antonio answered in a pretty good impression of Russell Crowe. Ash shook his head. That angel was a jokester through and through.
"The Spaniard!" the announcer shouted to the crowd. They responded with cheers and boos alike. Then he turned to Antonio and the fireman. "The only rules are, there are no rules. Fight!" Antonio didn't even have time to prepare himself before the fireman was on his ass. A right hook rocked his teeth in his mouth. Antonio shook it off and started paying attention. He dodged the next two hits, but the fireman got him good with a roundhouse kick to the gut. Antonio returned blows but kept his strength in check. After 10 full minutes, Antonio was done with it. He could have ended the fight, but Ash was right. They needed this guy. So when the fireman threw a serious uppercut, Antonio took a dive. He let his body fall to the floor, and he stayed there long enough to make everyone believe he had been knocked out. Ash was impressed. Although he knew that Antonio had gone down of his own accord, the fireman had some skills. That would come in handy when his time came. He watched as Antonio was helped off the floor, and the fireman put his hands up in victory. They stuck around and waited for the fireman to leave. Antonio had been the last of the fighters to take him on, so when he won, the fireman was granted all the money people paid to get in, less the organizers take. They went invisible and followed him right from the fight to a local casino, where he walked in and was greeted by the host. "Hey, Jake," the man said. "Was it a good night?" So that was his name, Jake. Ash filed that information away. Jake smiled. "Damn good. Made a killing." "So you came here to celebrate?" the host asked. "Plan on making it a spree," Jake answered. He walked through the doors and sat at the craps table. Ash wanted to know more about him, so he walked up behind the man and put his hand on his shoulder.
Everything he ever wanted to know about the man came flooding into his mind. He was single, but not by choice. His wife had left him because of what Ash had seen that night. He would fight for money to feed his gambling addiction. When he lost, he fought more. This was his sin, greed. So if this guy, Jake, doesn't want to be on my guard, will he go to greed for eternity? Ash asked Antonio after they left him.
Depends, Antonio answered. Every soul is given the chance to repent. Whether or not he does it is up to him.
You think this one is redeemable? He asked.
I don't think he would have chosen him if he weren't, Antonio replied.
Ash started to ask something else, but suddenly he had to go. Like right now. Leave. He had somewhere to be. Ash spread his wings without thinking and took off. Chapter 12. Elizabeth was sitting on a bench in the park next to the lake, watching the children play. It was a warm Saturday afternoon, and there were plenty of children to watch. She had always loved kids. Whenever she felt stressed, she liked to come here and feed the geese that made the little lake their home. She pulled a sleeve of crackers out her bag and opened it. The geese started making their way to her as if a dinner bell had gone off in all of their heads. She didn't know how they knew the crackers were for them, but they always did. She got out one cracker and tossed it on the ground in front of her. A goose with a brown head gobbled it up and honked at her for more. Before long, there were 7 or 8 geese surrounding her. They were even taking the crackers from her hand. She sighed heavily. That damned sunken feeling had settled into her chest again, and she had no idea why. She hated depression. Her rational mind knew that she had a good life. She had a great job that she loved, a couple of good friends, and was out of debt. What more could a girl want? A man, maybe. Elizabeth wasn't interested in any man, but that didn't stop the loneliness from taking hold of her and hanging on tight. There was a big black void in her life, and she didn't know how to fill it. Maybe I just need to get laid, she thought. A night or two of hot, sweaty sex might help. She laughed aloud, but it lacked any humor or happiness. That would only help if she could find someone she was attracted to. She had even taken to checking out guys that rolled through the hospital. While she could say this one was cute or that one was sexy, none of them did anything for her. None of them had the effect on her that would merit taking her clothes off. But that wasn't entirely true, was it? There was one man that made her heart thump in her chest. Ash, Leanne's elusive brother. Which was ridiculous. She didn't even know him. Even if she had saved his life, how many other people's lives did she save? She chalked that up to a Florence Nightingale illness. Mental illness. Great. Just add that to her ever-growing list of personal issues. She had to snap out of the funk she had gotten into. She knew one day she would, but the weight was slowly killing her. Ash didn't know why he needed to go to the park, only that he should go there. He had turned 180 degrees around and nearly left Antonio behind in his rush to get there. Maybe another future guard was there. He didn't know. He landed by the water and searched the park. There were kids everywhere. No way he was going to mark a kid.
What the hell? Antonio huffed as he landed beside Ash.
Ash shrugged his shoulder. I don't know. I just feel like I'm supposed to be here, he replied without looking at the angel. Antonio let his gaze travel over the park and the people gathered there. It took him all of 2 seconds to see what had called Ash to this place.
Elizabeth, his mate, was here.
Antonio knew eventually Ash would start feeling the pull, but he didn't know when. Now was good, though.
I don't see anything out of sorts, Antonio said, hopeful that Ash would not agree with him.
He didn't disappoint. No, there is something here, he said. I can feel it. Something that pertains directly to me.
Antonio hid his grin.
Oh, hey, isn't that... he said as he pointed in Elizabeth's direction. Isn't that your sister's friend?
Ash followed the direction Antonio pointed.
Yeah, he agreed. I think so.
Well, let's go talk to her, Antonio offered. Might as well, since neither of us knows what we're looking for.
I don't think I'm supposed to be here to socialize, Ash said with exasperation.
I didn't say socialize, I said talk. While we are talking, we can be watching for something to happen. Whatever has drawn you here might just make itself known.
I guess, Ash said. Let's get visible.
Hide those wings first, Antonio reminded him.
Ash closed his eyes and willed his wings to disappear. Even though no one could see them, he could still feel them. It was pretty awesome. Then he made himself appear to everyone who wanted to see him. Antonio did the same, and they started walking toward the doctor.
Oh, hi, she said as they approached. What are you guys doing here?
Ash said. Yeah, real articulate.
We were just hanging out, taking a walk, Antonio offered with a smile. Mind if we join you?
No, of course not, she said.
scooting over to the end of her bench and making way for the men to sit. Ash sat immediately next to her, and Antonio squeezed his ass in on the edge of the bench.
"Sure is a pretty day," Antonio mused aloud.
Ash rolled his eyes. "That angel was seriously going to talk about the weather?" "Yes, it is," Elizabeth agreed, as she tossed a cracker to the geese surrounding her. "I like it here."
"Me too," Antonio said. He looked out over the lake, and his eyes took on a faraway look. "Hey, I'm going to go find a bathroom," he announced suddenly. "Save my seat." He leapt up and darted off on foot, leaving Ash and Elizabeth alone.
She turned to face Ash. "So how are you doing?" she asked. "How's the chest healing up?" "Good as new," Ash told her with a small smile. "You fixed me up good." Elizabeth nodded. "Glad to hear it. Try not to get shot again, will ya? I'm not in the ER anymore to save you." "You will not die," Ash heard in his head again. He shook his head and focused. Dr. Roan was a pretty little thing, he noticed again. The sun was reflecting off her hair, making it shine. He could see that she actually had a hint of red highlights in it. Her eyes were a deep chocolate and framed by thick black lashes. She didn't wear any makeup that he could see. "Hello?" she asked him. Oh, shit. She had been talking to him while he was zoning out. "Yeah, I'm sorry," he muttered. Man, he had to get his shit together, or else he was going to miss the reason he came to the park in the first place. Didn't help that he had no idea what he was looking for. "Where'd you go?" she giggled. "I thought I was the only one who could live in my own head." "I'm afraid I'm pretty good at it," he mumbled. "I was asking if you had much of a scar," she reminded him. Ash considered raising his shirt to show her, but decided against it. "Hardly a scar at all," he told her with a grin. "Thank you again for that." Elizabeth nodded. Ash was larger than life. She couldn't believe she was sitting here talking to him. His dark hair framed his rough face, and rich blue eyes stared back at her.
God, he was yummy.
Wasn't she just thinking she needed to get laid? She wondered if he would be open to the job. Just the thought of it made her heart jump and her insides tingly. She could just crawl right up that hard body of his and have her wicked way with him. Maybe even chain him up and hold him captive for a little while. His shoulders were broad, and the t-shirt he wore stretched across his muscular chest, leaving little to the imagination. She wondered if it was as hard as it looked, and subconsciously licked her lips. Antonio didn't really need a bathroom. He just wanted to leave the pair alone for a moment. He had walked around the side of the public restrooms and made himself invisible. He watched as they both ate each other up with their eyes. It was like eye porn.
"Come on," he whispered. "Just one touch. You can do it." He got closer and hid behind a tree.
He didn't really know why he was hiding since no one could see him, but it just felt right. She had to touch him. Just to see. Just once. "Well, I'm glad I could help," she said with a grin, and then gently patted him on the chest. Holy cow, she could feel the heat from his body even through his shirt. Her brain took off on its own, and she saw little flashes of that handsome face above hers. Eyes closed, and mouth open in ecstasy. Her insides turned to mush, and wetness pooled between her legs. She yanked her hand away and looked into his eyes, eyes that were blazing back at her. Had he felt it too? Ash scooted back from Elizabeth. No, he didn't feel what she felt. He didn't like being touched. Smart move, she scolded herself. Elizabeth let out a heavy sigh. Then it clicked in her head. He was always with Antonio and never said anything about a girlfriend. Holy crap, he was gay. Why are all the good ones either married or gay, she grumbled. I'm sorry, what? Ash asked her. He didn't know this woman from Eve, but damned if he didn't want her to touch him again. And that was all kinds of inappropriate. He was supposed to be working, and where the hell was Antonio? I was just saying that all the good ones are either married or gay, Elizabeth repeated. I'm sorry I touched you. I didn't mean anything by it. Your boyfriend won't mind, will he? She asked. Or do you call him your partner? I don't want to be politically incorrect. Ash scrunched up his eyebrows. Boyfriend? Partner, he repeated. Antonio, she reminded him. Death, slow and painful. That was exactly what the angel could look forward to when he came back. I am not gay, Ash said slowly. And if I was, I would certainly pick someone less irritating than that man. Oh, Elizabeth said, with a molecule of relief. Well, I should go, she said. She stood and Ash stood with her. Bye now, she called as she walked away. Antonio was standing behind his tree, watching the pair. He had kept himself invisible so that he could be a voyeur without raising suspicions. When Elizabeth asked about Ash's scar, he got excited. No doctor could look at his or her own work without touching. But no, that wasn't what happened. Antonio banged his head on the tree. Why, oh why couldn't you just have a Jacob Black moment and take the damn shirt off, he growled. This was going to be harder than he originally anticipated. What did he have to do, tie them together naked in a hugging position? As soon as Elizabeth was out of earshot, Antonio stomped over to Ash and grabbed both sides of his face. He got nose to nose with the man. Are you freaking serious? He barked. The lights are on, but I don't think anyone's home. Or did the hamster die while the wheel was turning? What are you talking about? Ash snarled, attempting to yank his face away from the angel. It wasn't happening, though. You, my man, are dumber than a box of rocks. No, dumber than the fucking box the rocks came in. Ash shoved at him and finally got him to let go. First of all, he said, get the fuck back. She already thinks we're a couple. Second of all, what? I think you got about 2 brain cells, man, and they are always fighting with each other. Antonio threw his hands in the air. I don't think I can do this, he said. I gotta get out for a bit. He flashed away in the blink of an eye, leaving Ash by himself, and completely at a loss for what that idiot was ranting about. Ash sighed. He had no idea what Antonio was going on about, nor did he care. Whatever had pulled him to the park in the first place was obviously gone now. He had missed it. Missed it because he was too busy getting a hard-on over a pretty doctor touching his shirt. His shirt, for crying out loud. He really needed to focus. Ash vowed no more distractions as he flashed himself back to hell. Chapter 13.
You're sure that is exactly what happened?
Marcus asked the minion.
Yes,
the minion hissed.
All for love,
the little minion snickered.
Well, isn't that interesting? Adule grinned. Our new leader has a weakness after all.
More than one, Marcus said. I was in there with him for a while. He has no clue what he's doing here. He doesn't have the power to read minds. Or if he does, he doesn't know it. Because if he heard what I was thinking,
you wouldn't be standing here, Adule finished for him.
And he gave up a woman, Marcus said. Asked to forget her.
I bet he would remember her if we got hold of her, Adule chimed in.
That he would, Marcus agreed.
He scratched his chin and thought.
We should exploit this newfound weakness.
Adule grinned.
I find the girl?
The minion asked hopefully.
Yes, Marcus told him. You find the girls, both of them. Then tell me where I can find them.
The minion squealed and scampered off to do its job.
What are we going to do with them? Adule asked.
Marcus grinned even wider.
We're gonna kill them. Then our leader will be so overcome with grief that it will be easy to take him down.
But if he asks to forget her, Adule said, what makes you think that he is going to care if we kill her?
He will care about the sister, Marcus told him. And you know how those angels are. My mate this and my mate that. The most important thing is my mate.
Yeah, but he doesn't know it, Adule pointed out.
Marcus shrugged.
Doesn't matter. Once he sees her lying there dead with a soul in my realm, the pain will be more than he can handle. He might even off himself to save me the trouble.
Adule nodded.
Mates are like that.
But, Marcus added, I think we should play with them first. Have a little fun at our leader's expense.
A sadistic grin spread across Adule's face.
I think that may be the best idea you've had all year. It's been too long since I played with a human.
Chapter 14. Ash woke from a fitful dream drenched in sweat. It had all started out innocently enough, with him standing in a park under the afternoon sun. But things quickly went to hell. He'd been enjoying the sun on his face when Elizabeth walked by. As what he was beginning to think was the norm, he had an immediate and painful erection. He watched her dance in a white skirt that flowed around like a flower blooming when she twirled. In his dream, she was happy. Then dark clouds started filling the sky. He wanted to yell at Elizabeth to take cover, that a storm was coming, but he couldn't. He had no voice. He watched in horror as the lightning streaked across the sky, and thunder rolled through the clouds. The clouds got thicker and reached all the way from the sky to the ground. They rolled ominously toward Elizabeth, who was still dancing and didn't see it coming for her. Ash started to run. No matter how hard he pushed his legs, Elizabeth got further and further away from him. It was as if the earth was stretching to keep him away from her. Elizabeth! He shouted silently. He screamed and screamed for her, but didn't make a sound. The clouds got thicker and closer to her. Run! He was shouting. but she couldn't hear him. It was as if he didn't even exist to her. Then the clouds overtook her. Ash ran harder into the clouds, but he couldn't find her. He found several people, grabbed them, and lifted them to his face, but none were her. He couldn't see 2 feet in front of his face, but that didn't stop him from trying. Ash felt something cold and hard in his hand, and when he lifted it, he saw the huge sword that had come with his black wings. He spread his wings and beat them against the heavy black cloud surrounding him, but the cloud didn't budge. He held his sword up and swung at the blackness, but got the same nothing. Not nothing. Laughter. Maniacal laughter that didn't belong to anyone he knew. Ash jerked upright in his bed. What the fuck was that? He wondered. He rolled out of bed and into the bathroom. He was in full-on pee mode when he realized something. He was alone. He hadn't been alone since before he took this new job leading hell. Antonio was nowhere to be found. He listened carefully to be sure. Yup, nothing. Not a sound. The silence was somewhat eerie. He washed up and then went to his mirror. First, he checked on Leanne. She was sleeping soundly in her bed, wrapped around her fiancé. Satisfied that she was fine, he checked in on Elizabeth. He didn't have any reason to be worried about her, but something about that dream just wouldn't let him go. He didn't have any right to be looking in on her, but that didn't stop him from doing it. As the mirror changed, he saw that she was not in bed. Apparently, she was just coming home from her shift at the hospital. She dropped her bag on the living room table and pulled a tie out of her hair. Long, silky waves flowed down her back as she shook her head to loosen it more. He watched as she walked down the hall and into her bathroom. He should look away. Now. Did he do that, though? No. Like the voyeur he was, Ash kept watching. She pulled her scrub top over her head and dropped it into the hamper. Her bottoms followed, leaving her in only her panties and bra. In Ash's head, he saw a glimpse of black panties ripping. He shook his head and turned away as she dropped her underwear and started her shower. He should have walked away. He should have taken himself back to bed. Instead, without permission from his brain, his body flashed to her home. Instead of watching the shower doors steam up from his mirror in hell, Ash was watching it in person. He made sure he was invisible while he watched her silhouette rub soap all over herself. She was even singing. He was a sick fuck, but even that knowledge couldn't make him look away. He watched as she turned the water off and barely managed to turn his back when she stepped out and grabbed the towel. She walked out of her bathroom, nearly brushing the side of his arm as she went. Ash cursed himself silently. He was just going to make sure she got tucked into bed properly. Once he knew she was safe in her bed, he was going to leave. Really, he was, until she got into bed. She dropped her towel, unaware that he was watching her, and lay on top of her covers. Her body was naked and on display for his eyes, and they refused to look away. Ash adjusted himself in his pants. Leave, he told himself. When she reached over to her nightstand and retrieved a small silver bullet, he knew there was nothing on earth, or in heaven, or hell, that was going to move his ass. Elizabeth had just had too many rough days. Work sucked, life sucked, and really, she just needed some stress relief. Her friend suggested that she relieve herself. At the time, Elizabeth had balked at the idea. That wasn't going to help her. But while she was showering, something changed. She felt like she was being watched, but not in a creepy, stalker kind of way. No, it was as if she was watched by a man who wanted her. The idea wasn't as appalling as she thought it would be. In fact, it turned her on. She lay back against the headboard and started rubbing her hands over her breasts. At first, she felt silly, but then a face popped into her head. Ash. Her mind pretended that it was his hands drifting over her skin. Immediately her nipples hardened and her core ached. She palmed her bullet and clicked it on. The vibrations tickled her skin as she ran it over first one nipple, then the other. She trailed it down and finally settled it on her clit. Ash was going to lose it. He knew it. The perfect woman was pleasuring herself and he was watching like a horny teenager. He knew it was wrong. He knew he should go, but he couldn't make himself. He watched as she moved the tiny vibrator over her sensitive flesh and wished at that moment that it were his tongue in its place. He could almost taste her. She moaned aloud, and Ash closed his eyes only for a moment. His cock was rock hard, and he had to adjust himself yet again. Just the simple brush of his own hand had him wanting to climb on her and ravish her like a madman. Since that would most definitely not go over well, He forced himself to stay back. He watched while her back arched, and when she climaxed, his own body shook with the need to do the same. No, he told himself. It was already way past the line of what was decent and acceptable. As her body calmed and she snuggled into her pillows, Ash forced himself to leave her. She was obviously healthy and safe, and there were no black clouds threatening to consume her. He had no right to be there, none whatsoever. He took himself back to hell, where he belonged.
Chapter 15. Ash returned to hell in a super foul mood. Not only was he tired, but now he was horny too. He knew he could relieve himself if he wanted to, but he didn't deserve it. Not after the way he just acted. He could suck it up. Ash parked himself at his desk and opened his computer. Emails. He had thousands of them. Some were from his sanction leaders, but some were from humans. Apparently, they didn't get the notice about Lucifer being dead and all, because these were fanatics. Satan worshippers. And just how in the hell did these humans get his email? Did they look it up in the Yellow Pages? Is it listed under 1-800-DIAL-A-DEMON? What had Lucifer been up to? Ash had no idea, but he made a mental note to change his work email. Ash considered ignoring them, but since he was in such a lovely mood, he decided to reply to them. All of them. He went through and clicked each and every one of the emails from humans. Sickos, he thought. Then he selected Reply All and went to work typing. Dear pathetic pieces of shit, in case you didn't know, Lucifer is dead. I am the king of the palace, and I have some new rules. Number one, stop killing animals that you are not going to eat. I don't do blood sacrifices. Number two, stop worshiping me. Get a Bible. Read it. Number three, never email me again with your childish and irrelevant requests. I will not grant you eternal life, and I will not grant you riches. You will only land in hell by being a sick fuck, and not in a way that you would enjoy. Just for your information, I am twice as shitty as Lucifer was, and twice as vindictive. Change your ways, or come to me for your sins. Get a life. Yours truly, the King of fucking Hell. Isn't that a bit over the top? Antonio's voice asked from behind Ash. Fucking hell, Ash grumbled. How long have you been standing there? Long enough to read your email, the angel chuckled. Busy day? Ash growled at him. Hey, I'm just asking. What are we going to do today? Antonio took a seat across from Ash. We going to fry some demons, or would you rather fry chicken? When is the last time you ate something? It was then that Ash noticed the angel had a bag of chocolate chip cookies in his hand. Is that all you think about? Food? Ash grumbled. We have bigger things to worry about than what's for supper. Harry, I'm trying to learn a whole fucking underworld, find my elite guard, and run this joint. And you want to know what's for supper? Oh, someone got a pee under his mattress, Antonio said. What's going on? Ash could feel his frustration growing. It was a living, breathing thing inside him. I'm just fucking fed up, okay? And sexually frustrated, but he wasn't going to add that. I know what we should do, Antonio said, leaping to his feet. Let's go see some babies. Ash turned his back on him. I know that I am evil, but come on. We are not cooking babies. Antonio laughed. I am so glad to know you think so highly of me, he barked. But no, I was suggesting we go hang out with some actual babies. They always make me feel better. I don't think babies would be safe around me right now, Ash told him. He was looking around. Surely, there was something alcoholic in this office. I think you would be surprised, Antonio said. And we had the liquor cabinet refilled the other day. To your left. Ash looked, and sure enough, there was a cabinet built into the wall. Ash opened it and found that every kind of liquor imaginable was stocked. He grabbed a scotch and opened it, put the bottle to his lips, and drank from it. Then he coughed up a lung. You know I'm going to kill you one day, Ash said between coughs. Yeah, but not today. Come on, have I ever steered you wrong? Ash knew there was no way he was going to talk Antonio out of it. If he had learned anything from his time with this irritating SOB, it was that when he got an idea in his head, there was no turning back. Fine, Ash agreed with a loud sigh. But remember to keep your personal space out of my personal space. Yay! Antonio said, clapping his hands. What a dork. Antonio knew it was getting bad. Ash was growling and pacing like a wolf. A hungry wolf. He needed to get him and Elizabeth together and get this whole touchy-feely thing done and over with. Antonio knew Elizabeth was at work by then. He had been watching Ash for hours at his computer. The man needed a break. And a taco. And sex. Not necessarily in that order.
They flashed to Earth and flew in silence until they were over the hospital. Antonio pointed at the helipad on the roof, and Ash nodded. The pair landed and went inside the hospital before making themselves visible. "I don't understand why we need to visit the nursery," Ash complained, even though as soon as his feet touched the building, he knew he was supposed to be there. It was just like the park. There was something or someone there he was supposed to see. It was like an invisible thread pulling him where he needed to go. It was stronger this time, though.
"Babies always make me feel better," Antonio told him, as they marched through the halls.
"Whenever I am feeling out of sorts, I go visit my family. Well, I used to, before all the babies were grown. Now I have to visit the hospital nursery to get my baby fix. You'll see," he promised. Ash didn't know about all that, but he was supposed to be here, and that was what mattered. Elizabeth was running late. In her entire career, she had never been late to work. She parked her car in the parking garage, jumped out, and ran for the elevator. Then she stopped and turned around. Shit, she had forgotten her stuff. She ran back to her car and clicked the unlock button on her remote. She yanked open the passenger side door and reached in to get her bag and her name badge. She backed out of the car and slammed the door, except she hadn't moved back far enough, and slammed the door into the side of her head. "Ow!" she cried out, bringing a hand to her head. She rubbed her skin, and when she felt wetness, she looked at her hand. Yup, she was bleeding. "Damn it!" she cursed, putting her hand back over the wound. She shook the stars from her vision and headed back toward the elevator. Instead of going straight to her locker, she went down to the ER. "Hey," Dr. Tucker greeted as she arrived. "What brings you down here?" he asked. Elizabeth moved her hand and showed him her reason for the visit. "Ouch," he said. "Want me to have a look?" "Aren't you doing somebody's surgery?" she asked. "Nah," he said. "I was called down here for a possible emergency appendectomy, but turns out I wasn't needed. But I think that needs stitches," he said, pointing at Elizabeth's head. "How about I fix you up?" Elizabeth nodded. Dr. Tucker was not only a co-worker, but also a friend. He was marrying Leanne in a few weeks. Elizabeth had gotten close to both of them over the last year. He walked her to an empty exam room. "Yeah, that needs a stitch or two," he mumbled. He brushed Elizabeth's hair from her face and got to work cleaning the wound. "What happened?" "Would you believe I shut my face in the car door?" she asked with a smile. "Actually, I would," he said. He soaked some cotton in betadine solution and gently patted it onto the cut. "I did it once myself. Hurt like a bitch." "Mmm," Elizabeth agreed. "Okay, let's get you stitched up," he said. He took his needle and tweezers and set to work, repairing the damage she caused. 3 stitches later, he was finished. He applied a thin layer of Neosporin and declared her fit for duty. "Thanks," she said. "Now get to work," he laughed, as she grabbed her stuff and headed upstairs. The OB unit was quiet for a change. No one was in dire need of her, and no babies were pushing their way into the world right at that moment. It was just as well, seeing as how she was late and arriving with stitches. She briefly explained her tardiness to the nurses, and then told them that if they needed her, to page her. Elizabeth then took herself for a walk around the floor. She passed the nursery and stopped for a look at the babies she delivered the day before. Ash hated to admit it, but Antonio had been right. Babies were very calming. Antonio was making goofy faces at one newborn boy, and the child was watching him intently. "I thought no one could see us," Ash said. Antonio turned to look at him. "Normally they can't, but babies always can. Don't really know the whys of it, they just can." Ash looked at the baby next to him. She was in her little crib sleeping away. Her mouth twitched every now and again, and he wondered what a newborn would dream about. The whole place smelled like Johnson's baby bath and powder, combined with the scent of what he could only describe as baby. Why did babies smell so good? He leaned down and breathed in near the little girl. She smelled wonderful, like flowers, sunshine, and happiness. Yeah, happiness. That was what babies smelled like. Ash thought one day he would want a baby, but then immediately decided against it. He wanted a son, but who would be the mother? He didn't want a family in the life that he led now. There was no room for that. He wouldn't be able to give them the attention they would deserve. Then he felt it. That string that pulled him, yanked on him hard. He looked behind him and saw her, Elizabeth. She was walking outside of the nursery, just on the other side of the glass. His brain brought up images of her lying on her bed the night before. "Let's go," Antonio said, taking Ash by the arm. "We need to get out of the nursery." "Why?" Ash asked. "Because you have a nasty habit of getting visible at bad times," Antonio answered him. "Just outside there."
The pair left the nursery and got visible before walking back toward Elizabeth. Antonio's heart jumped in anticipation. Maybe now the SOB would touch her. As they approached, Antonio could hear a low growl emanating from Ash's chest.
"Dude," Antonio said, "what's with the angry dog impression?"
"What?" Ash barked at him. "You're fucking nuts."
"No," Antonio differed. "You are growling. Stop it, and why?"
Ash looked at Elizabeth, who just then turned to face the men. There was a cut on her head that had recently been stitched.
"Oh, I see," Antonio said. "Hey, you go find out what happened, and I will just stand here and look at the babies."
Ash barely heard him as he stomped over to her.
"Who did this?" he demanded.
"Okay, that was really smooth." Ash was pissed, though. Someone had hurt her. "Hello to you, too," she smiled.
"Who hurt you?" he asked her.
"Oh, this," she said, raising a hand to her wound.
"That would be me. I slammed my face in the car door this morning. Then I shall rip the car to pieces, mangle it beyond recognition. I will slay the beast that has caused you pain," he said with a smile.
What the fuck? He had been hanging around Antonio for too long. Elizabeth laughed.
"That is what I like about you guys," she said. "You're just so funny."
"Seriously, though," Ash said, "are you okay?"
"Yeah," she told him, "just a flesh wound. Your sister's fiancé stitched me up."
Ash nodded his approval.
"What are you doing here?" she asked.
"Baby watching," Ash told her. "Antonio says it's good for the soul."
"I think it is too," she admitted. "That's why I'm here. They always make me feel better, like I'm at peace when I am surrounded by so much new life."
"Oh, come on already," Antonio grumbled.
"What was that?" Ash asked over his shoulder.
"Nothing," Antonio replied with his head leaning on the glass. Ash looked at the wound. It really wasn't bad. That led to looking into her eyes and then down at her lips. He wanted to kiss her, he realized. He raised his hand up from his side toward her face. He could already feel the skin of her cheek in his palm. He leaned her head as if to accept the touch he was about to deliver. He wanted to touch her. He needed to touch her. Just another inch. What the fuck was he doing, he thought, as he put his hand back down and shoved it in his pocket. First, he was watching her. Now he was thinking about touching her. What had gotten into him? He had no right to touch her, and really, he had no right even talking to her.
"Well, we should go," Ash said quietly. A loud thump came from behind him, and Antonio groaned.
"Okay, see you around," she replied. Ash walked past Antonio, who had a red mark on his forehead, and left the hospital post-haste. He was pretty sure that he heard Antonio grumbling something about an idiot as he went.
Chapter 16. Leanne was admiring her wedding dress as it hung in her closet. She didn't dare take the bag off it, for fear that it would somehow get dirty. When her doorbell rang, she went to answer it immediately. On the other side of the door was Elizabeth.
"I'm so glad you came," Leanne said, pulling Elizabeth into her home. "I have to show you."
"Okay, okay," Elizabeth laughed as Leanne pulled her by the hand. She led her into the bedroom where the closet door was wide open. Hanging on the rod was a white garment bag.
"It's finally finished," Leanne squealed.
"Well, let's see it," Elizabeth said. Leanne carefully unzipped the bag and pulled it away from the dress. It was a full-length gown with a mermaid bodice. Tiny little sequins were sewn into the bodice, and the skirting was full, billowing out from the rest of it. Elizabeth admired the dress.
"Put it on," she said with a sly grin.
"Help me," Leanne asked. The pair worked their way through the dress until it was on Leanne's body.
"I hope you have plenty of people to help you get this on for the big day." Elizabeth laughed as she tried to straighten the skirts. There was just so much of it.
"I know, right?" Leanne laughed. Leanne was beautiful in her gown. After Elizabeth managed to get the zipper up and all the little buttons on the back fastened, Leanne twirled in a circle, giggling like a schoolgirl. Elizabeth squashed the tiny seed of jealousy she felt. Her friend was happy, and she was happy for her. Now was not the time to dwell on all the things missing from her own life.
"I'm so happy for you," she told her friend.
"Thank you," Leanne beamed. Elizabeth immediately thought of Ash and how he looked at her earlier that day in the nursery. She had thought for certain he was going to kiss her. He had even raised his hand to touch her, but then turned away at the last second. She wanted him to touch her.
"What is it?" Leanne asked, taking a seat on the bed. She brushed the skirts of her dress down in an attempt to wrangle them into submission.
"Nothing, why?" Elizabeth answered.
"Don't give me that," Leanne rebuked.
"Come, sit. Tell me what's on your mind."
Elizabeth sat next to her and let out a sigh.
"Can I ask you something?" she finally said.
"Of course," Leanne smiled.
"Is your brother gay?"
Elizabeth just blurted out.
Leanne choked on her own spit. I'm sorry? Did I hear you right? Did you just ask me if Ash was gay? Elizabeth looked down. I know it's none of my business. I was just wondering. Leanne laughed. No, honey, he's not gay. What on earth would make you ask that? Elizabeth shrugged. I saw him and his friend at the park yesterday, she began. I don't know what I was thinking, but I touched his chest and he moved back away from me. Then I got to thinking, he is always with Antonio. I apologize, and even though Ash told me he was not gay, I saw them. When I was in my car, I looked back and they were nose to nose. Antonio was holding his face as if he was going to kiss him or something. I just looked away and drove off. Leanne laughed harder. Oh, man, I bet that went over well. No, he is straight. He isn't much on relationships, but I have seen him with a girl a time or two. Elizabeth nodded. So it was her. Oh, I get it, Leanne said with a grin. You like him. You want my big brother. No, Elizabeth started to defend herself, but Leanne would have none of it. Yes, you do. Oh, my God, she yelled. Okay, maybe I think he is attractive, Elizabeth admitted. Pfft, Leanne said. I have eyes. Even though he's my brother, I can see what other women see. That man is gorgeous. Yeah, Elizabeth grinned. In a let-me-crawl-up-your-body-and-have-my-way-with-you kind of way. Ew, but I get it, Leanne nodded. Sorry, Elizabeth said. I just find myself thinking about him a lot lately. Can't say I blame you, Leanne told her. He's a great guy if you can get past the macho tough man act. He is probably the most selfless man I know. Well, he made it pretty clear that he isn't interested in me. Elizabeth sighed. Not necessarily, Leanne said, putting her hand on Elizabeth's knee. You just gotta try harder. He may be great, but he is also pretty dense. You might try hitting him over the head or something. Elizabeth laughed. It had been too long since she had laughed with another female. This girl talk thing was therapeutic.
Well, this is convenient.
A man's voice interrupted their conversation. Elizabeth and Leanne both looked at the source at the same time.
I thought I would only find one of you here. But look, there you both are. Save me some trouble.
The man was tall with dark hair and blacker than black eyes.
Let's go ahead and get the pleasantries out of the way. You're coming with me.
The hell we are, Leanne said, standing along with Elizabeth. Each woman did her best to push the other behind her. You can leave. I'm calling the police. The man laughed.
The police will do you no good,
he assured them. He moved toward them too fast for their eyes to track him. Then he had a hand on each of their throats.
You ladies are going to do just fine, he growled.
Elizabeth couldn't draw in enough breath to respond, but Leanne could, and she used it to scream. Chapter 17. Elizabeth woke in what she could only imagine was the basement of an abandoned house. The air was thick and musty, and it smelled of mold and decay. She opened her eyes a small slit and looked around. She was tied to a small cot in the corner of the room. There wasn't a window that she could see. As her eyes adjusted to the dim light, she saw that she was not alone in the room. Leanne was chained to the wall adjacent to her. Elizabeth tried to get up, but realized she wasn't just tied to the bed. She was chained. Her wrists were crushed in metal handcuffs, and heavy, thick chains secured her arms above her head. As she struggled, she realized that her feet were secured as well.
"Leanne," she whispered.
Leanne's head hung to the side, and her hair covered her face.
"Leanne,"
Elizabeth hissed.
"She is quite the heavy sleeper,"
a man's voice said cheerfully.
"I'm sure she will wake soon enough."
Elizabeth turned her head toward the voice, and her breath caught in her throat as she swallowed a scream. The man was not a man at all, but a beast. He was tall and black with a huge horn on his head. A million questions were flying around in her head, but the one that troubled her most was why she wasn't surprised by this.
"I know. I am nice to look at," he grinned at her,
revealing a row of razor-sharp teeth.
"But you are not for me," he continued. "Marcus wants you."
"Who are you?" she asked.
"It doesn't matter," he answered.
He sat back in his chair as if he were debating something with himself.
"Yep, I think I'll wake my toy up now,"
he declared and then stood. He walked over to Leanne and slapped her face. Hard. The smack echoed through the room.
"Wake up, bitch," he snarled.
Elizabeth watched helplessly as Leanne woke immediately and cried out in pain.
"What the fuck?"
she snarled at him. Then Leanne really saw him, and she screamed her freaking head off.
Ah!
The demon taunted her, in a bad imitation of the scream.
Oh, help, help! The big bad demon is going to get me!
Leave her alone, Elizabeth shouted. The demon yanked his head around to face Elizabeth.
Don't you worry, he said to her. You'll get yours.
Fuck you, Elizabeth shouted at him. Leave her alone. The demon laughed and backhanded Leanne. Elizabeth cringed at the sound it made. Leanne's head jerked to the side. When she raised it back up, there was fire in her eyes, and she spat blood from her mouth in the demon's face.
Bitch,
it snarled at her. And then he hit her again. Elizabeth didn't want to watch, but she couldn't look away. She screamed at the demon over and over, but he seemed to enjoy it.
Too bad your brother is too weak to come and save you, it growled at Leanne.
Leanne raised a brow at the demon. Her expression was a challenge to the demon, and it knew it.
Why don't you call for him?
It smacked her again.
Call for your brother, the big bad Ash. He won't hear you, though. He isn't strong enough to find you.
Leanne pressed her lips together. She wasn't going to do anything the demon asked of her.
Adule,
a sharp voice said, making Elizabeth turn her head. She had since closed her eyes, but now she opened them.
What are you doing?
I was just having a bit of fun with the sister, he replied. I don't think she knows about her brother.
The new man walked over to Leanne. If not for his black eyes, Elizabeth would have thought he was human.
Do you know what your brother has become?
He asked her. Leanne pressed her lips tighter together. She wasn't going to say anything.
It doesn't matter, the first demon, Adule, said. He doesn't need to see the action, only the aftermath.
What are you talking about? Elizabeth demanded. She didn't know where the spark of courage came from, only that it was there. She figured they had been taken as some kind of torture for Ash. But what had he done? And what was he into? Were they some kind of demon mob? Leanne was obviously not going to help them. And Lord help her, she wasn't going to help the demons either. She knew it right then. She wouldn't do a thing to help them find Ash, even if it meant her life.
Ah, my pet, the human-looking demon said to her. Your mate is weak, and we intend to exploit that little matter.
He turned and walked over to her.
But first, I intend to play with you first.
Mate, what the hell did that even mean? I'm not his mate, she growled at him as he came closer.
Oh, you are, he said with a grin. But he didn't want you, did he? No, he sent you away.
This guy was about two cards short of a deck. Elizabeth rolled her eyes dramatically.
Spunky one, aren't you? He smiled. No worries. I can beat that right out of you.
He sat on the edge of her cot, and Elizabeth tried to move her body away from his, but she was secured tight and had nowhere to go. He raised his hand and she braced herself for the blow she knew was coming. Instead, he traced the side of her face with his fingertip. It was almost a loving caress, which in turn made her stomach threaten to heave.
Yes, he said, turning more fully toward her. I think I shall play with you before killing you.
He drew his fist back and punched her in the face. His knuckles cracked into her eye socket. Pain exploded behind her eye, and she knew that her orbital bone was broken. He hit her with his other hand, matching up her eyes. Elizabeth wanted to cry out, but she couldn't. She wouldn't. She could hear the first demon attacking Leanne, but there was nothing she could do. She was helpless, and she hated it. Over and over, the demon struck Elizabeth, but she took it. She swallowed her cries of pain, and she shoved the pain way down inside herself. When he finally stopped, Elizabeth breathed a sigh of relief, but he wasn't finished with her. No, he was just getting started. He shoved her legs apart and climbed between them.
You won't be needing these, he growled, as he ripped her scrubs off her legs.
Elizabeth knew she was going to have bruises on her legs from the material being yanked off. She also knew exactly what was coming next. She could barely see him through the swollen skin around her eyes, but she heard the unmistakable sound of a zipper going down. She closed her eyes and willed her brain to check out of the current situation. If she was going to survive, she was going to have to go somewhere else in her head. She was almost calm, breathing in and out slowly, concentrating on keeping it together. When she felt the demon shove himself inside her, she felt the delicate tissue inside her ripping as he raped her. The pain was excruciating, but she would not give him the pleasure of crying out. She fought to keep control of herself, distancing herself from the reality of what was happening to her. She shut out the smell of his foul breath in her face, and she shut out the sound of his grunts. She shut out everything, and eventually, even the pain. The last thing she thought before she slipped into unconsciousness was, "Ash, please help me." Chapter 18.
"Why can't I see her?" Ash demanded.
"I don't know," Antonio answered him. "I can't work that thing," he declared with a wave of his hand toward the mirror.
"Isn't there someone you can ask?" Ash demanded, getting in Antonio's face. "Look," Antonio snarled back at him. "Do I look like I have a direct pipeline to the big guy? Do you think we just sit around and have tea discussing you? Do you think he just calls my cell and tells me everything? No, he does not. He tells me what he thinks I need to know and nothing more. We gotta figure some shit out ourselves. I'm sorry you can't find your sister, but it ain't my fault," he huffed and then poked Ash in the chest with his finger. "Get a grip, will ya? Get laid or something." "She's in trouble," Ash announced. "I know it. I have to find her."
"Well then, let's find her instead of sitting here arguing," Antonio suggested rather loudly.
"I'm going to her house," Ash said.
"Right on your ass," the angel said. The pair flashed to Leanne's home on Earth. The house was empty and the front door was wide open.
"What the fuck?" Antonio breathed out.
The house was a wreck. There had definitely been a struggle. The couch was tipped over and there was a shattered potted plant on the floor. It looked like it had hit the wall first.
"Somebody got a plant thrown at their head," the angel said.
"Lily!"
Ash called through the house.
"Lily, where are you?"
"She ain't here," Antonio said flatly.
"What the fuck do we do now?" Ash shouted.
"Damn it!"
He kicked a chair that was already turned over. It flew across the room and smashed into the wall.
"Calm down," Antonio said.
"Fuck that," Ash snapped.
"Seriously," Antonio said, "look and listen. Who was here? Feel it."
Ash made the effort to calm himself. He closed his eyes and looked for things he couldn't see. There was a smell, one that he recognized. It was the distinct scent of sulfur.
"Demons," he muttered under his breath. "Fucking demons."
"Can you tell which ones?" Antonio asked seriously. Ash shook his head.
"Concentrate on your sister. Feel her. Where did she go?"
Ash thought hard about Leanne. Then it was as if someone flipped a switch in his mind. He could see her spirit, for lack of a better word. She had been in the house. Someone came in and took her.
He could see pink and lavender swirls, like an aura, where she had been.
He followed it out of the house and down the street. Antonio was right behind him.
"That's it," he said.
"Lead us to her." Ash spread his wings and flew. He followed his sister's trail through the city and into the country. He followed it through a forest and over a mountain. Where the hell was she being taken? Her trail stopped at a small cottage nestled into the trees. He and Antonio dropped silently in front of the small building.
"I'm going in," Ash announced.
"Me too," Antonio agreed. They didn't flash in, nor did they attempt to hide the fact that they were there. Ash raised his foot and kicked in the front door. It splintered and fell from its hinges, crashing into the wall behind it.
"Honey, I'm home," he yelled into the small house.
Immediately, Ash caught sight of movement in the next room, and he rushed toward it. A demon, lower level, cowered in the corner of what used to be a kitchen. There were cobwebs along the ceiling and about an inch of dust and grime covering every surface. A forgotten pot still sat on the rusty stove. Ash didn't waste time. He walked right up to the little demon and grabbed it by the throat. It was only about 3 feet tall to begin with, so when Ash raised it up, its feet dangled beneath it.
"Where is she?" Ash demanded.
"I'm sorry, sir," the little shit stammered. "They made me do it."
"Who is they?" Ash growled. "And where is Lily?"
The little demon shook its head. Its eyes were solid black and rounded in fear.
"I don't know their names," it said. "They said to watch them."
"Watch who?"
Ash demanded, tightening his grip on the thing's throat.
"The humans," it said.
Ash growled at it.
"Why should I let you live?" he demanded.
"Have mercy,"
the demon begged.
"Yeah," Ash agreed.
He dropped the demon to the floor and pulled his sword from his hip.
"Please," it begged. "Mercy."
"This is me showing mercy,"
Ash growled as he brought his blade around. He brought it down in one forceful movement, slicing clean through the demon from the top of its head all the way through its body. When the two halves fell to the floor, Ash turned.
"Ash," Antonio's voice called from underneath him. "You better get down here."
Ash found the stairs leading to the basement and took them three at a time. He was unprepared for what he saw there. Leanne was shackled to the wall, spread-eagled, wearing her wedding dress. It was ripped and blood-stained, hanging from her shoulders. Her face was bruised and bloodied. "Dear God," Ash breathed as he ran to his sister. He pushed her hair back from her face and lifted her chin. "Lily," he said. "Ash," she whispered. "Are you all right?" he asked as he started to figure out a way to get her down. God help the demon who did this to her, because Ash was going to bring all of hell down on his head for this. "I'm okay," she answered in a hoarse voice. "Elizabeth," she said. Ash looked for the woman in question and found her chained to a cot on the other side of the room. "Help her," Leanne whispered.
"I got this," Antonio told him, already going to work on the shackles. "Go check on the doc."
Ash nodded, satisfied that his sister was safe with the angel, and went over to the cot. "Elizabeth," he said. He got no response. His stomach turned as he took in her swollen face, her blackened eyes, the bruises on her arms and legs. But what disturbed him the most was that her clothes were torn, and she wasn't wearing any pants. "I'm going to get you out of here," he told her. He reached for the chains, binding her wrists above her head. His hand brushed against the skin of her wrist, and Ash nearly fell back on his ass. Images, no memories, flooded his mind. He saw her at the hospital, working her ass off to save his life. "You will not die." He knew what those words meant to him now. She had pulled him back from the brink of death and an eternity of slavery in hell. He saw her removing staples from his chest. He saw himself kissing her while he was wearing purple scrubs. He remembered making love to her. He remembered that he loved her. He loved her with everything that he was, and he remembered asking God to make them forget. He had wanted to keep her safe, and look how that worked out. His woman was hurt, and it was because of him. His stomach knotted and immediately threatened to return his breakfast. Elizabeth. His Elizabeth. Oh God, what had he done? Elizabeth was fighting just to stay conscious. She couldn't keep her eyes open. She heard when Leanne's brother entered the room, and she heard him say he was going to help her. Then she felt him touch her wrist. Everything she hadn't understood became crystal clear. She remembered. She remembered kissing him. She remembered the story he told her about the demon and hell. She remembered saving him, and she remembered that she loved him. Her heart filled to near bursting with the love she longed for, and she ripped her eyes open to see his face above hers. "Ash," she said through a sheen of tears. "You came for me." Ash got a grip on himself. "I'm getting you out of here right now," he told her, and grabbed the chains that bound her. He used his hands to rip them apart. He was only momentarily surprised that he had the strength to do so with his bare hands. He had to get her out of there. When she was free, he gathered her into his arms. "I am so sorry," he told her. God, was he sorry. He should have been there to protect her. He should have been there to love her. "I love you," she whispered. Her head lolled to the side, and her eyes closed. "No," he demanded. "No way. Don't you do that. Don't you dare say goodbye," Ash said as he pulled her face back to him. "Stay with me." "So tired," she mumbled. "Come on, talk to me," Ash told her. "Tell me what happened." He got no response, and he looked at Antonio for guidance. The angel was looking back at him with an expression he had never seen on the man's face before. It was empathy, as if he knew firsthand the pain and helplessness Ash was feeling. "Come on, baby, talk to me. What happened?" he asked Elizabeth. She opened her mouth slightly, and then closed it again. She was too weak to tell him. Ash gritted his teeth and cradled her head to his chest. "Don't you dare die on me," he told her, as he rocked them both. "Stay with me," he pleaded. "I've only just found you. Stay with me, please." Ash looked down into her eyes. He didn't know where it came from, but he could see what happened. He saw what was done to her, and he could see who did it. His body began to shudder all over, as white-hot rage filled his veins. How dare they touch what was his? How dare they hurt her?
"Give her to me," Antonio said from right beside him.
"No,"
Ash growled, gripping Elizabeth's body closer to him.
"I know a guy," Antonio said. "It's her only chance." Elizabeth was dying in his arms. Ash shook his head no. His heart wanted to keep her with him, even though his head knew he should allow Antonio to take her.
"If you don't," Antonio said softly,
She will surely die. Let me try to help her. Ash looked up at the angel. He searched his face for any signs of a lie. All he found was compassion and determination. He had grown to trust Antonio, even if he was an irritating shit. And really, he was Elizabeth's only option. I can keep them safe, Antonio said. Both of them. Antonio watched as Ash fought with himself. The man was vibrating from his anger, and he feared that if Ash let it go, the women would be hurt further. He held out a hand, and Ash finally took it. He stood with his precious cargo and kissed her lips once. I have to let Antonio take you now, Ash told her. He's an angel, and he will keep you safe. Elizabeth clung to him tighter, and in an almost imperceptive movement, shook her head no.
It's the only way, Ash said softly. I will see you soon, he promised.
Then, Ash handed Elizabeth over to Antonio. He took her into his arms and held her gently.
I have to go, Ash said through gritted teeth.
Antonio nodded. Take them somewhere safe, he said, as he stepped away from them and spread his black-as-night wings. He threw his head back and roared into the night. The ground shook with the force of Ash's pain and anger. Black flames erupted from his entire body, and when he looked back at Antonio, his eyes were glowing red. Antonio nodded at him once, and then Ash disappeared. Antonio flashed himself and both women to the only place he knew would be safe, his old home where his family lived. Chapter 19. Elizabeth was going in and out of consciousness. She could hear voices around her, and she surmised that she was in a hospital. She forced her eyes to open for a moment, realizing that this was like no hospital she had ever seen. The walls were decorated with pictures, and heavy, dark blue drapes covered the windows. It didn't smell like a hospital either. It smelled like someone had just cooked Italian for dinner. How long had it been since she ate real Italian food? And why was she wondering about that in the first place?
Please help her, she heard someone say.
Antonio, she thought. She had met the man enough to recognize his voice. Help who? She was a doctor. She could help. She tried to sit up, only to realize that she couldn't move, not a single muscle. And she hurt. Literally, everywhere she had nerve endings was pulsing in pain.
Help her, he shouted. She is screaming in pain. You have to do it.
Elizabeth realized that she was screaming, but it was as if her body was reacting on its own. She was locked behind some wall that wouldn't let her out to tell them she was okay. She was okay, wasn't she?
I cannot do it without consent, another man said,
one she didn't recognize.
I have done all I can,
the most beautiful female voice Elizabeth had ever heard said.
There is just too much internal injury.
Wake her up then and ask her, Antonio barked. Do it, King Smurf. She's his mate. First of all, fuck you. Second of all, I know that,
King Smurf replied.
But it's the law. She has to wake up.
Elizabeth wondered what kind of trip she was on. She imagined that Antonio was talking to a giant blue man with a gold crown on his head and big white feet.
Shree,
a lovely man's voice said right by her ear,
we are going to wake you.
It will be painful, but we need you to be with us for a moment.
There were other voices around, some male, some female, and Elizabeth got the impression that they were a family. It was the way they talked to each other. Then she heard a woman's voice.
Awaken, child of mine. Bring yourself forward. Cross the line.
Elizabeth felt like she was being hauled up off her ass from the inside out. Then she was awake, really awake. She opened her eyes and squinted from the light, and then realized what pain really was. She threw her head back and screamed.
Elizabeth! Elizabeth!
Someone was saying.
Dr. Roan!
A sharp, commanding voice shouted. Elizabeth snapped her head up and looked into the eyes of a man with sandy brown hair and a crooked grin.
I need you to listen to me now, he said. I am the king of vampires, and you are dying faster than we can stop it.
King Smurf,
Elizabeth whispered. Funny, he didn't look like a Smurf.
I'm going to kill Antonio for that later, he said.
I like Antonio, Elizabeth said, feeling drunk.
Had they given her something for pain?
Listen, King Smurf said again. You are going to die if we don't do something. Antonio thinks it is a good idea to change you. We need your consent before we can do it.
Change me? Into a Smurf? She asked.
King Smurf rolled his eyes and then he opened his mouth wide. Elizabeth felt her own eyes widen when she saw the long, sharp fangs in his mouth.
I need your consent,
he reminded her.
Okay, she agreed, feeling sleepy and drunk. She was too tired to deal with this craziness anymore.
Do what you must. Then she slipped back into the abyss of unconsciousness. That'll do it, Antonio barked. She consented.
I don't know, his brother the king replied.
She is the mate to the leader of hell, a position we helped create. I have to deliver her to her mate in one piece. He needs her to do his job, and it's my job to see that they get together and stay together. So I am asking you to help me help her help him, Antonio barked out. Please, your blood is pure and it's strong enough. Please help her.
His brother nodded and bit into his own wrist. Then he placed his wrist over Elizabeth's mouth and allowed her to drink.
Chapter 20. Ash materialized in the depths of hell, a flaming, cursing madman. No, not crazy, but filled with rage. He had never felt the kind of anger that was coursing through his veins. He felt so many things. Betrayal, hate, sadness, all rolled into one giant ball of fury that needed its own zip code. The minions who lived in the cavern scampered away without looking him in the eye. The black flames danced over his skin as he stomped his way through the wall of fire. He didn't bother with the elevator. He flashed himself to Mally's sleeping room.
Where are they? He demanded.
Sure?
Mally asked as he looked up from the book he had been reading.
What is it?
Ash gritted his teeth. His vision had taken on a red hue.
Wrath. Murder. Where the fuck are they right now? He growled.
I don't know, Mally answered him. Sure, are you okay?
Fuck no, I'm not, Ash spat. I will find their fucking asses, and when I do...
You should check murder sanction. They like to hang out there.
Sometimes they hide in lust, too, Mally offered.
Can I do anything to help?
No, Ash said. This is something I have to do on my own.
Then he flashed to murder, leaving his assistant alone and with his mouth open. Ash didn't see it, but Mally felt sorry for the ones who crossed Ash. He grinned. Their leader had found his power, and things were going to change. Ash walked past the souls who were being tortured. They were lucky compared to what Ash was going to do to their leader. His heavy footsteps echoed in the cavernous space, an ominous sound that preceded his anger. Little minions tried to approach him, but Ash sent them flying with a wave of his hand. Everything within 3 feet of his body caught fire from the black flames. He was a walking destruction in every sense of the word. Demons scattered as he searched the realm. A dark cloud of menace preceded him as he searched for his targets. When he didn't find what he wanted, Ash flashed to Wrath. He exploded through the entrance, sending demons and souls flying as he went.
Marcus! Adule! He shouted.
His voice boomed and shook the very foundation they stood on.
Come out, wherever you are!
Ash felt his rage grow hotter when no one responded to him. He flashed back to the caverns and began shouting.
You want to get to me? He shouted. Come and get me!
Marcus and Adule appeared with twin grins on their faces.
Hello, sir,
Marcus said through his fangs.
You hurt them,
Ash spat in their direction.
Mere humans, Adule answered flippantly.
Not just humans, Ash growled. My sister, my mate, how fucking dare you!
Just wanted to prove the new leader of hell was a softie. And look at you. You're all bent out of shape because we played with a couple of humans.
Adule looked at Marcus.
And you can't afford soft spots, which is why we are taking you down.
You arrogant sons of bitches. You can try, Ash ground out through his teeth.
He almost wished he had fangs so that he could literally bite their heads off.
You have no business leading hell. You can't. You have too much love for those humans, Adule said. Love makes you weak.
Ash heard the words. Yes, he did love his sister. He did love Elizabeth. But did that make him weak? No, he didn't think so. Elizabeth's love made him strong, powerful, and right at that moment, dangerous.
You think I'm weak, he grinned. Let's see for ourselves. This ends now.
Adule flicked his hand as if to move Ash with his power, but nothing happened.
Your power has no effect on me,
Ash said with a sadistic grin, and then pulled his sword from his hip. He swung it low and caught Adule by surprise. The blade sliced easily into the skin of his thighs. When the demon yelped in pain, Marcus tried to join in. Ash sent him flying with only a look, The massive demon crashed into the wall, and tiny rocks broke loose and fell to the ground. Ash toyed with them. He dropped his sword and used his mind to pick the demons up and toss them around like rag dolls. He didn't need a weapon. He hadn't realized the enormity of the power he had been given before. But now, he could feel it pulsing inside his body. It was like a separate entity, a living, breathing thing that was feeding off his rage and becoming more and more powerful.
"You stay,"
he commanded Marcus with a wave of his hand. The demon was trapped against the wall, unable to move, by the power of Ash's command. Then he lifted Adule off the ground with his mind. "You first," he growled. He wanted to make sure that each demon got appropriate attention from him. Ash pulled his fist back and let it fly. It smashed into the demon's face with a crunch. Blood spurted from its mouth, but Ash felt no relief, only anger. He grabbed the demon by the shoulders and slammed him into the wall.
"She is mine," he growled. "Mine!"
Then he threw his head forward, connecting with the demon's forehead. The headbutt was so hard that it rattled Ash's teeth, but he welcomed the pain. It was a distraction from the pain he felt in his heart. Over and over again, he pummeled the demon with his fists, until the fight left Adule. Then it was Marcus's turn.
"You violated her,"
Ash accused the demon. His stomach turned, just thinking of what the sick fuck had done to his woman. No matter how long he lived, no amount of therapy, no amount of divine intervention would be able to erase those images of her from his mind.
"All's fair," the demon replied.
Ash knew the idiot had to know his death was coming. Yet he kept running his mouth. Ash proceeded to shut him up with a fist to the teeth. He reared back and punched the demon again with his bare hand. He could hit so much harder than a human could, and he used it to his advantage. He relished the sickening crunch of the demon's bones breaking under his blows. They ended up on the floor with Ash sitting on his chest.
"You hurt her," he growled. "Never again," he vowed.
He doled out one punch after another, until his hands were coated in sticky demon blood. Marcus was lying in a pile on the floor of the cavern, barely hanging on to his life. Then it was time to get serious. Ash pointed at both demons, and their bodies rose off the ground. He walked forward, willing the demons to float in the air in front of him, until they came into the main cavern, where Ash had first accepted his new position.
"Get in here, now," he bellowed.
Very quickly, all of Hell's leaders and minions filed into the cavern.
"These demons felt that I was not worthy to lead," Ash announced. "They felt that I was soft and cared too much for humans."
He made the two demons come closer to him.
"They thought they could touch what was mine," he growled. "Know this, every one of you, I promise to be a fair and just leader. There are rules that will be followed. No innocent shall ever be harmed, ever. And no one, and I mean no one, will ever touch what is mine."
He tossed the demons against the wall again, just for good measure. The flames on his skin were growing in intensity. He let the demons drop to the ground in a heap.
"And know this," Ash continued, "the breaking of these rules will be punished, and the penalty will be death."
He trained his eyes on the demons who had kidnapped and hurt his sister, the ones who raped and beat his mate. He pointed his finger at them, and the black fire leaped from Ash's body to theirs. They screamed out in pain, but Ash ignored their pleas for mercy.
"I will not allow any demon, leader or otherwise, to break these few simple rules."
He glared at the flaming demons. He narrowed his eyes and forced his power from his eyes to the demons. Lightning flashed throughout the cavern, and the demons who watched all ducked for cover. The air filled with dark clouds, and the lightning crashed repeatedly.
"You will never hurt my mate again," he growled at them. "Do you know where demons go when they die? You're about to find out."
Then, with only the power of his will, the two demons exploded into a million pieces. The sound was deafening, and there were pieces of demon goo everywhere. Ash turned to face the rest of Hell.
"Anyone else think I'm not qualified to lead?"
He snarled at the small crowd. Every one of the demons present dropped to their knees and bowed their heads. Ash hadn't wanted anyone to bow to him, but in this case, he made an exception. The unanimous show of loyalty was enough.
"That's what I thought,"
and flashed himself away. Chapter 21. Elizabeth was stuck in some weird-ass dream. No,
not a dream, a nightmare. She was swimming in a sea of black, with no beginning and no end in sight. There was nothing and no one. She tried to scream out, but she didn't make a sound. She felt as though she weighed a ton, and yet nothing at all at the same time. She could feel pain, though, and boy did it ever hurt. She felt like her veins were filled with liquid fire, burning her from the inside out. Her muscles took turns contracting and releasing, one at a time, until she felt as if she was running a marathon while never moving from one solitary spot. She hurt, she was alone, and she was frightened. At least, she thought she was alone. Somewhere far in the distance, she heard Ash's voice. "How long will she be out?" she heard him ask. She didn't hear whom he was talking to, and she didn't care. He was there with her. She felt his hand wrap around hers, and for a moment, the pain subsided. She could do this, she thought. As long as he was with her, she could conquer this dream and come back to him. She forced her feet to move, first one, then the other. It was like trying to run through knee-deep mud, though. She willed herself to move toward his voice. "Come back to me," he told her. It sounded as if he were right there. She only had to go a little further, and she could make it to him. She had to make it to him. Elizabeth didn't know how she knew, but she had to endure the pain and get back to Ash where she belonged. "Where did you take her?" Ash asked. "I told you," Antonio answered. "I know a guy." "That really doesn't help," Ash replied. "How do you know this is going to work?" Antonio looked toward the heavens for a moment, as if he were searching for answers. "I don't," he finally admitted. "She could still die. At least this way she has a chance. She'll still be her woman if she comes out of this. But she will be different." "I don't care as long as she comes back," Ash told him. Antonio had taken Elizabeth to see his family, where they had done all they could to heal her. Then, Antonio brought her back to Ash's quarters in Hell. It was the only place he could think of where Ash could be with his mate and still do his job. After everything that had happened, Ash didn't need to be leaving Hell for much of anything. For 2 days, Ash kept vigil at her side. For 2 days, he prayed. For 2 days, he talked to her and begged her to find her way back to him. And then it happened. She opened her eyes. "Ash," she croaked. Ash yanked his head up and moved right into her line of sight. Her eyes were still brown, but different. Instead of a warm, hot chocolate color, they were almost iridescent. He thought they were beautiful, just like her. "You came back," he sighed with relief. Elizabeth searched his face and then smiled. Her smile was the most beautiful thing he had ever seen, more so now that she was sporting a pretty pair of shiny white fangs, where her incisors used to be. "What are you smiling about?" she asked. "You," he told her. "I'm smiling because of you." Elizabeth reached up to hug him, and suddenly they were both on the floor, she on top of him.
"Ooh!"
he grunted as he took the brunt of their landing. Elizabeth scampered off him and had a serious what-the-fuck look on her face. Ash grinned at her. He knew he was grinning like an idiot, but he didn't care. His mate was magnificent. "What the hell?" she asked.
"I think this is where I need to speak up," Antonio said.
Elizabeth turned to look at the man. No, not a man. Angel. He was sporting huge white wings. Then she looked at Ash. Huge black wings. This was about a 12 on her weird shitometer.
"You were hurt," Antonio explained.
Elizabeth nodded.
"I did what I had to do to save you."
She remembered being attacked, and she remembered Ash coming to her rescue. A shiver ran up her spine as she remembered what happened to her. She had vague images of being somewhere, but she couldn't decide where.
"What did you do?" she asked. "Am I dead? Is that why you have wings? Are we all dead? Am I an angel too?"
Ash chuckled. "You're an angel in my book," he said. Antonio snickered. "No, we are not dead. No, you are not an angel." He told her the short story about how he became an angel and how Ash ended up where he was. Then he told her that in order to save her, he took her to his vampire family who changed her.
"I'm a vampire," she said slowly. "And you are both angels."
"Yes," Ash and Antonio answered at the same time. Elizabeth felt her teeth with her tongue and found two super sharp fangs in her mouth.
"So now I have to drink blood?" she squealed.
"It's not as bad as you think," Antonio said, showing her his fangs. "You don't need to stay out of the sun, and pork chops and chips are off the menu, but you will be stronger, faster, and more in tune with your surroundings than ever before. You will not get sick, and you will heal if something happens to you."
"Blood," Elizabeth repeated.
She sat back on the bed to gather her thoughts. It wasn't as if blood made her squeamish. She had dealt with it every day in her adult life. However, she never once considered drinking it. She had even met a vampire before, and although he didn't frighten her, it never crossed her mind that she could be like him.
And it's a surefire way to make sure you live a long life with your mate, Antonio said. How else would you two make it work? Humans aren't allowed down here.
Down here? Elizabeth squeaked.
As in hell down here? Ash nodded. You took me to hell?
Demon attack. Vampire. Angels. Hell. What was next?
Just my part of it, he answered. His part, she thought. The love of my life has his own little part of hell. It wasn't like when people said it's a little slice of heaven. No, this was hell. Who wanted their own little slice of hell? Now that she remembered that she loved him, and all they went through together, she couldn't believe she had ever forgotten him in the first place.
Why didn't I remember you before? Elizabeth asked.
Ash knew he was going to have to come clean about that eventually, but had hoped she wouldn't ask. That was my fault, he told her. I asked God to make us forget each other so you would be safe. Elizabeth stood and put her hands on her hips.
Yeah, and how did that work out for you?
She asked in a sarcastic tone. She hated to admit that his answer annoyed her quite a bit. She pursed her lips together and breathed deep to calm herself. She would not freak out. Not now. Ash smiled at her.
Not very well, I'm afraid. Can you ever forgive me?
Elizabeth started pacing, sorting through this information overload. She had saved his life, and then he saved her. He had asked to forget her. Forget her! Which ended up with her being attacked by demons, only she didn't know why, because she couldn't remember that she was in love with Ash, and he with her. She had been beaten, tortured. Then because of all that, she apparently gave consent to be changed into a vampire. She had known they lived out in the open, but there really weren't many who didn't mind if the world knew what they were. It wouldn't have been her first choice.
Why didn't you take me to a hospital? She demanded. They could have given me blood. They could have operated.
Antonio raised his hand. There wasn't time, Doc. You were dying faster than I could fly. You wouldn't even stay conscious for more than a minute at a time.
And just where the hell were you when I was changing into an immortal? She demanded of Ash.
He looked her right in the eyes. I was finding and killing the ones who hurt you, he said. Elizabeth pursed her lips and nodded slightly.
Well, that's acceptable, she said after considering it. He was the leader of hell, after all. He should bring down hellfire and damnation on those who commit wrongs.
Ash laughed. I should hope so, he told her. I will never let anything happen to you again. Elizabeth didn't know about all that, but she had no doubt that he would never ask to forget her again.
I can forgive you, but only because I love you. You did it because you love me, but that was damn stupid, and you better not do it again.
Ash stood and took her into his arms.
I won't, he promised her. I will never let you out of my sight again.
So am I really going to live forever? She asked against his shoulder.
For a very long time, he breathed. I am pretty sure I was dreaming about a giant smurf with fangs.
Elizabeth said more to herself than anyone else.
Antonio snorted.
What? She asked him.
Nothing, he turned away to hide his grin. His brother the smurf. Classic. Ash held Elizabeth closer to him and breathed in the scent of her hair. He had come too close to losing her. He had thought keeping her away would be safer for her, but now he knew that she needed him. He needed her. He was stronger with her, and because of her, she was his other half, the part that had been missing for so long.
And this is where I bid you goodbye, Antonio said, shaking out his wings.
Wait, Elizabeth said. I don't know how to use these. She pointed at her teeth.
Antonio grinned at her.
Your body knows what to do, and Ash isn't going to break. I have faith in you.
Hey, Ash said to Antonio. I'm pretty glad I didn't kill you after all, he finally stammered out.
Yeah, I kind of like you too,
Antonio said with a grin. Then he disappeared, leaving the couple alone in Ash's bedroom. Chapter 22. Ash pulled Elizabeth tighter into the circle of his arms.
I have been so lost without you, he admitted.
Never again, she pledged. Ash nodded and lowered his head. He kissed her lips gently, exploring them with a tenderness he had no idea he possessed. He kissed her with promise. He put the emotions and things he couldn't put into words into the kiss. He would never leave her, would love her always, and he would protect her. He told her with his lips how he felt for her, deep down in his soul. She opened for him, and he slid his tongue inside. He tasted her like a fine wine, savoring every nuance of her flavor. He had saved her, but she had saved him, too. They were two parts of one whole, and he knew that things were never going to be the same. They were going to be better. She had walked into his life and literally saved it, but it was so much more than that. She was more than his savior. She was his personal salvation. She was the reason he had been born, the reason he lived, the reason he breathed, and she would remain the reason for everything he did for the rest of his now very long life. He finally released her mouth, but kept his lips on her skin. Elizabeth let her head fall back as Ash peppered her jaw and neck with soft kisses. He licked and nipped at her skin, and too soon, the sweet gentle pace was becoming more urgent. Her nails dug into his back as he sucked at her collarbone, and Ash growled his approval. He explored every inch of her exposed skin, recommitting it to his memory. Her hands dug under his shirt, and when her skin touched the skin of his neck, little jolts of electricity sparked over his skin. He broke from her only long enough to rip his shirt over his head. Her hands went immediately to the small scar that traveled down the center of his chest. She traced it with her fingertip, and then leaned in to kiss it softly. She kissed his chest and made her way up to his neck. She darted her tongue out and licked up the side of his throat. Ash could only hold her head to him, unwilling to stop her exploration. She pushed her head back against his hand, and Ash looked down into her face. Her eyes were damn near glowing, and her mouth was open as if she were in pain. Her fangs were longer now, fully extended, as if he were to guess. She started. I think. Do it, Ash told her. She needed to feed. That's what vampires did, right? I don't want to hurt you, she said painfully. You're in pain, he told her. Do it. Take from me what you need. What if? But Ash cut her off. No what ifs. I will be the one you feed from now and always. Do it. Elizabeth was terrified. She had no idea what she was doing, but the pain was excruciating. Her teeth ached, and her stomach felt like it had collapsed on itself. Ash pulled her head gently to his throat. Her lips touched his skin, and she could hear the pounding of his heart. It called to her, begged her to take from him. She opened her mouth wide and aimed for his carotid. Her teeth slipped into his skin, like a knife through butter, and warm, delicious liquid filled her mouth. Ash's body jerked slightly, but then he remained still. She had thought drinking blood would be gross, but it wasn't. From Ash, it was sweet like a dessert wine, thick and flavorful, and tasted like nothing she could ever hope to describe. As she swallowed, he held her tight to his throat and growled deep in his chest. She could feel his erection pressing into her stomach, and that made her wrap her arms around him tighter. Her body was alive with passion, tingling everywhere, but especially in her core. Ash prepared himself for pain. He knew many people allowed vampires to drink from them, but still, she was going to put those tiny razors in his throat. But when she bit him, dear God, he was unprepared for the sudden and complete onslaught of lust that filled his body. He wanted her to bite him and take from him. He wanted it more than his next breath. Without disturbing her feeding, Ash picked her up and she wrapped her legs around his waist. He walked carefully until her back was against the wall, holding her butt in place while he ground his cock into her core. He could feel her heat through their clothes, and it made him crazy. As he held her to his throat, every pull from her mouth made his cock jerk in his jeans. He held her there, feeding her and dry-humping her like a boy. Then, she moaned around his neck, and that was his undoing. Ash threw his head back and roared as the biggest orgasm of his life crashed into him. Kept grinding his hips into her. He couldn't help it. He couldn't stop himself, nor did he want to. This is what life was about, being everything for his woman, and the feeling was extraordinary. When she had taken her fill, Elizabeth pulled her teeth from Ash's throat. She instinctively licked every last drop from his skin, and when she looked to see what kind of damage she had done, she was relieved to see there was none. His arms made a steel cage around her, and when she looked up into his eyes, they were glowing red. She had only seen it once before, and he was pissed then. She knew that the red of his eyes had nothing to do with being pissed off now, though. His wings were slightly opened behind him, twitching and moving of their own accord. He rested his forehead on hers and said, "Damn woman," Elizabeth giggled. He loved the sound of her laughter. He was going to see to it that she did it more often. First, even though he had just come in his pants like a teenage boy, with his first trip to second base, he was still as hard as stone. He carried her over to his bed and sat down with her legs still wrapped around him. He moved his hands from her backside up to her face and brought her lips back to his own. Moving his hands over her back and then up to the hem of her shirt by her neck, he grabbed the material and ripped it down the middle before pulling it off her arms. Then, he flipped their position so that he was on top of her, legs still around his hips, and their mouths still fused together. Ash finally let her up for air, only long enough to rip her panties off her body and toss them aside. He shucked his own pants and then crawled back over her. "Mine," he growled, into her ear, before running his tongue over the shell. "Mine, mine, mine." "Yes," Elizabeth cried out when he bit the cord of her neck. "More." So he did. He licked, nipped, and sucked at her neck. When she demanded that he suck harder, he obliged. He knew she was going to have one hell of a mark when it was said and done, but it would be his mark. He kissed down her chest to her breast, massaging them with his hands, and then took one pert nipple into his mouth. Her cry of pleasure spurred him on. He bit gently with his teeth, and her back bowed off the bed. Her hips rose forcefully off the mattress, grinding against his stomach. He could feel her wetness as she bumped against him with her core. He paid homage to the other nipple as well. Then he shifted his weight off her and to the side so that his hands could have free rein of her body. He traced her stomach and her hip, and then dipped his hand between her thighs. She was hot to the touch and soaking wet. Ash bent his head and sucked her nipple into his mouth again, this time while exploring her sex with his fingers.
"Ash," she moaned.
"Please, more." He slipped two fingers inside her. She was a snug fit, and he knew exactly what she needed from him. He flexed his fingers inside her in a come-here motion, while sucking hard at her nipple. The heel of his palm kept pressure on her clit, while she writhed under his attention.
"Yes," she cried out as her body began to shake. Her sex clamped down like a vice on his fingers,
and Ash watched the beauty of his mate's orgasm at his hand. He stroked her gently while she floated back to her body.
"That was nice," she said with a wicked smile.
"Nice?" he asked, pretending to be taken aback. "I'll show you nice." He climbed over her, and she locked her ankles behind his butt.
"Better show me fast," she suggested.
"I forget easily." "You are never forgetting anything about me again," he promised, as he positioned himself at her center. Then he pushed inside. He wanted to draw it out, but as before, he couldn't. He pushed his hips forward, shoving his cock deeper and deeper inside her. She grabbed his ass and pulled him into her as well. Faster and faster he thrust, and when he could hold out no more, he reached between them, took her clit between his fingers, and squeezed.
"Oh, fuck yes,"
she screamed as she orgasmed again. Ash was pounding into her, grunting his mantra with every thrust.
"Mine, mine, mine."
Then he jumped off that cliff with her.
Chapter 23. Ash sat at his desk with Elizabeth at his side. She was returning a few work emails and putting in for her vacation time. She had not disclosed her new vampire status yet. Even though she knew most of her coworkers wouldn't mind the change, she feared some would. She thought some would even fear her, which was just silly in her book. He admired the dark lines that wrapped around the back of her neck, resembling angel wings. It was her mating mark. It appeared one morning after a long night of lovemaking, and an identical mark appeared on his neck as well. She was his, and he was hers. "How you holding up, love?" he asked her, taking her hand. She turned and looked at him with a quirked brow.
"What do you mean?" she asked.
"You know, after everything. Are you okay?" he asked. His woman had been through a ton of shit, and even though she smiled at him a lot, he worried. She graced him with that lovely smile.
"I'm good, I think," she answered.
"It's been crazy, but as long as I have you, I'm okay. As long as we're together, I can handle anything." He loved that woman. He had already checked his own emails. Only one thing stood out to him, and that was a response to his reply to a satanic cult. Apparently, they didn't care for his "dear pathetic fucks" response. He wasn't concerned, though. He didn't believe that the threats made in the email could actually be followed through on. Not without the help of someone actually in hell. And Ash made damn sure no one would dare stand against him for a long time. Antonio strolled into his office, unannounced as usual, and Ash actually met him with a smile.
So, I was thinking, Antonio began talking, but Ash didn't really hear what he was saying. That angel could talk. How many times did Ash consider killing him? Once? Twice? 643? He was glad he didn't now. If it hadn't been for Antonio, he would never have gotten Elizabeth back. However, he could sure be a pain in the ass. Ash was grateful that God had put that little loophole in his request. Ash thought that being with him would put Elizabeth in danger, but being away from him had made it worse for her. She didn't really talk about what she had been through, but she didn't have to. Ash had seen it all in her head. He figured out that they could communicate with their minds, much like Antonio could with his mate. Still, he worried. He knew that Marcus had left scars on his woman that no one would ever see, but were there nonetheless. Scars he couldn't heal. Pain he couldn't conquer. He thanked God that she was so much stronger than he was. She was his strength. It took him a while to figure it out, but now that he knew it, he never planned to let her go. She was everything to him, and without her, he had nothing. Ash watched as Antonio paced his office, talking. He pushed his hair over his shoulder, and Ash thought once again that the man needed a haircut. A slow smile spread across Ash's lips. With a tiny flick of his wrist, he sent the smallest bit of his power in Antonio's direction. Elizabeth snorted and then covered it with a cough. "You okay?" Antonio asked her. Elizabeth pressed her lips together hard and nodded. She wanted to laugh so badly, but she managed to hold it in. "What?" Antonio asked. He looked at Ash, who was wearing an identical expression. Their lips were closed tight, but their eyes were bright with unleashed laughter. "What is so damn funny?" Ash snickered and then cleared his throat. "Nothing, man. Go on." Antonio shook his head and kept talking. He paced until he walked in front of the mirror. Then he stopped dead in his tracks, backed up slowly, studied his reflection. "What the fuck?" he shouted. He turned on his heel and glared at Ash. "Fix it now." Ash burst out laughing. He couldn't hold it anymore. Antonio, the big bad warrior angel, was standing in front of him with a bald head. But that wasn't where it stopped. His wings were no longer the huge, white, majestic angel wings, but gossamer fairy wings that glittered with every color of the rainbow. They shimmered and flapped furiously behind him. The chainmail was gone, replaced with a pretty pink tutu. "I think it's an improvement," Ash choked out between laughs. Elizabeth couldn't speak. She was leaning over sideways in her chair, laughing so hard that tears were running down her cheeks.
"What the fuck did you do to me?"
Antonio demanded, putting his hands on his hips. The image was so less menacing with the tutu. Elizabeth thought she was going to die.
"I'm gonna pee my pants," she wailed.
Ash grabbed her and hugged her close while laughing his ass off. "That," he said, pointing at Antonio, "is for all the shit you gave me." Antonio glared at him.
"What?"
Ash wailed. "No snarky comeback? No crazy butt dance?" He leaned back and drew in a deep, wheezing breath.
"Big bad warrior has nothing to say."
Antonio was pissed. Almost. But being the prankster that he was, he could appreciate the merits of a good prank, and Ash had gotten him good. He kept his hands on his hips and leapt into the air like a dysfunctional swan. Then he bent at the knee for a little bow. He raised his head and grinned at Ash before joining them in their laughter. Chapter 24. Ash pulled at the knot on his tie again.
"Stop it," Elizabeth told him. "You're going to make it crooked." "I hate this thing," he said, as he allowed her to fix it again.
"I don't care. Leanne said wear it, and you are going to wear it." Elizabeth turned around so that her back was to him.
"Now, finish zipping me up."
Ash's brain shorted out for a moment when he saw the expanse of skin on his mate's back. Her dress was blood red, with a deep V-back that stopped at her hips. He reached over and pulled the zipper up the last inch until it was securely in place. "You look beautiful," he told her. And she did. Her dark hair was twisted on top of her head, with little curls hanging down to frame her face. She was wearing minimal makeup, just enough to accent her eyes. Little teardrop diamond earrings hung from her ears, and a matching necklace graced her chest. The little diamond charm sat just above her cleavage. He, on the other hand, was stuck in the standard wedding penguin suit. You would make any female vampire jealous.
"Smooth talker," she said with a playful swat at him.
"Come on, it's almost time." They went into the room where Leanne was waiting for them. Ash's breath caught when he saw his sister in her new wedding dress. This one was pristine white, without tears or bloodstains. Would he ever get the sight of her that day out of his head? He doubted it, but seeing her like this was a good start. "Lily," he breathed. "I can't believe it. You're all grown up." Elizabeth sneaked out silently as Ash entered the room. Leanne smiled at Ash. "I've been grown for a while now," she reminded him. "You're not very observant."
"Tell me about it," he grumbled. "You sure about this?" he asked her.
Leanne stood from her stool and took both of Ash's hands into hers.
"Yes, I want you to know something, big brother."
He smiled down at her.
"What's that?"
"I know what you did for me," she said. Ash raised a brow at her, and she continued. "When we were kids,
I remember. I saw it too. You saved me back then. I never really knew the price you paid for me until just recently, but I wanted you to know that I knew it."
She fidgeted with his tie.
"I don't really understand what happened between you and Elizabeth, and I won't ask, but I am so glad you finally found each other."
Ash had hoped his sister would never know his life, his real life. His heart sank that she would have to know that kind of evil really existed in the world. He had always hoped that she was too young when their parents were killed to remember it. He had been wrong. He had been wrong about so many things.
"No," she said, laying her hand on his chest and stopping his pity party. "You protected me and you saved me. Twice. I love the life that you have given me, and I want you to know that I am going to live it. I am going to live it every day, and I am going to do it in a way that would make you proud of me."
"I am already proud of you," he croaked. He was not going to cry. The freaking leader of hell did not cry. Damn it. He looked down into his sister's eyes and felt the pride swell his chest. He couldn't be more proud of her if he tried. Not only was she kind, caring, and beautiful on the inside and out, but she was strong. She had witnessed the horrific death of their parents and had been kidnapped and beaten, but here she was, smiling, and ready to take her life by the reins and live it.
He was truly blessed to have her in his life.
"Now let's get me married," Leanne took his elbow. "Pastor McCoy canceled at the last minute, so we had to get someone new," she told him. "I don't know his name, though."
"I'm sure he will do fine," Ash told his sister as they walked through the church. They stopped at the heavy doors leading into the sanctuary. "You ready?" the usher asked. Leanne nodded, and Ash gripped her tighter. The ushers opened the door as the music played. He had to will his feet to move with her, but when he saw the pastor waiting at the altar, he grinned from ear to ear. The pastor was a lean blonde man with clear blue eyes that spoke of centuries of wisdom and love. When he looked directly at Ash and asked, "Who gives this woman to be wed today?" Ash had no qualms about handing his sister over.
"I do," he said confidently. He smiled at James and saw the happiness in the man's face. The same look Ash knew he wore every day with Elizabeth. "Some things," he thought, "are just meant to be." He looked around and noticed that one of the groomsmen was, in fact, Jake, the flame. Ash shook his head with a smile when he saw the man making googly eyes at one of the bridesmaids. Antonio was sitting in the back, grinning like the idiot he was. Ash, of course, did give him back his wings and his hair. The sight of him with no hair and the pink tutu was enough to keep Ash smiling for the next 6 months, he thought. He returned to his seat, next to his mate in the front row, and watched as his sister's union was blessed in the best way he could imagine. The pastor even gave Ash a covert wink when the ceremony was over. He took Elizabeth's hand and squeezed it in his own. Yes, some things were just meant to be. Ash was happier than he had ever been. He was on cloud nine. So when the explosion tore through the building, he never saw it coming. The foundation rocked as the church exploded, burying everyone and everything under its rubble. No one even had a chance to run. Chapter 25. Jake felt the rumble under his feet just before everything went to hell. He had been lucky enough to be standing away from the heavy beams that supported the roof of the church. He got to his feet and tried to shake the ringing from his ears. He finally got his eyes to work and saw what had become of the church. Smoke was everywhere. Fire was chewing up the insides, and there were people trying to get to their feet. He heard a small cry of pain from behind him. Jake trudged through the rubble and found the source. A small girl was trapped under part of a pew that had blown to pieces. Jake knew he shouldn't move her, but one look over his shoulder at the fire that was growing in intensity quickly changed his mind. He grabbed the heavy wooden bench and lifted it off her. Then he scooped up her small body in his arms and ran her to the door, or at least where the door used to be. He took her a safe distance from the disaster and handed her to a man on the street. "Here, get her some help," he demanded before running back in. "Why can't we help?" Ash demanded. Elizabeth was holding his arm as they watched the catastrophe unfold in front of them. Because it is what is meant to be, God told them. We must allow the events to unfold as they are meant to. I don't like it, Ash grumbled. I know, my son, God told him. I have faith in you. Then he disappeared. Ash watched in horror as people milled out of the ruins. He needed so badly to go and get his sister and her husband out of the mess, but neither Elizabeth nor Antonio would allow him. He watched as one body after another was pulled from the rubble. Then, finally, Leanne walked out. She was dirty and limping, but otherwise seemed to be unharmed. Ash hated that he couldn't let her see him. He wanted her to know that they were okay. She looked in his direction and nodded once. Did she see him? She does, Antonio answered his unspoken question. She knows more than you think. Ash nodded and saw James coming out as well. He was helping a woman that looked a little like him out of the building. They watched as people came out and relief started to spread through Ash. It was short-lived, though. His mind was running 100 miles a minute. Who would do this, and why? His concern was quickly replaced with anger. He could feel his skin vibrating with the need to get to the bottom of all this. Elizabeth's hand on his arm calmed him, though. We will get to that, she promised. For now, let's just make sure everyone is okay. Ash saw his fireman walking out yet another victim, and then head right back into what was left of the building. It was on fire good and proper now, with black smoke billowing up into the sky and blocking out the sun. He was momentarily glad that as long as Elizabeth was with him, she was safe from the sun. Her new vampire status didn't allow for much tanning anymore, but he could protect her if she needed to be outside. He could also make her invisible so long as she was touching him. Ash knew that there would be casualties, but all the people he cared about were accounted for. He watched as those that made it were helped out of the building, while others were carried out. He saw Jake run back into the burning building one more time before the whole thing collapsed. Jake knew there was one more person inside the church. He took several deep breaths of clean air before running back into the fire. He really missed his gear right about now. He could hear the sirens in the distance, but he also knew he didn't have time to wait for them. He knew the man inside didn't have that kind of time. He leapt over a heap of burning debris and found the man by listening for his coughs. When he finally got a visual on him, Jake knew it was now or never. The man's face was turning gray, and not from soot. He couldn't breathe. Jake settled his feet at shoulder width and lifted the concrete slab covering the man's body. He strained so hard to get it off the man that he knew he was going to bust a vessel or something. He felt the pull in his groin, and he was sure that his shoulder popped out of socket, but there was no going back now. If he let go of the slab, it would surely crush the man to death. Jake put all of his strength into hefting the slab up and over, finally allowing it to fall to the side of the man. As he let it go, the last of the clean air in his lungs left him. Come on, he said, taking the man's arm and pulling him up. Gotta go, he said. He wished that he could lift the man over his shoulder, but he didn't have the strength anymore. His arms and legs felt like jelly, and it was all he could do to walk. A burning beam fell just in front of them, and Jake was forced to move himself and the man back from it. He could hear cracking overhead, and he looked. The ceiling that had been holding up was giving way. It was going to fall right on top of them. With all the strength he had left, Jake lifted the man by his waist and tossed him over the burning beam. Go, he shouted, breathlessly. Get out of here! Jake didn't see whether or not the man got out of the building. He didn't see the pair of angels watching him. Hell, he didn't even actually see the ceiling fall. One second he was yelling at the man to go, and the next second, everything was black. Epilogue. Jake knew he was dead. First, there was the fire and the collapse. But even if that wasn't a sign, the fact that his body was being hurtled down a freaking tunnel that never seemed to end was a great big flashing neon light. Then, there was a light at the end. Just like so many people claimed to have seen, he was floating very quickly down the proverbial tunnel. Jake felt himself smile and allowed the tunnel to take him to it. The faster he traveled, the better he felt, until he actually started getting closer to the end. He could see where the light came from, and it wasn't heaven. Not unless heaven's gates were made of fire. He was going to hell. All the things he had done in his life were finally coming back to haunt him, and it would be for all eternity. His fighting for money to feed his gambling addiction had cost him so much more than that happy marriage he originally thought. It had cost him his soul. As he approached the flames, he tried to fight it. He tried to turn around and run back to his life, where he could make changes. He tried, but it was no use. Hell had a proper hold on him, and that was where he was going, whether he wanted to or not. As he hurtled through the end of the tunnel, Jake landed on his ass on a hot concrete floor. He took in his surroundings, only to find that it wasn't really a floor, but a cave, and there was a huge ass wall of fire in front of him. He crab-walked backward away from the flames until his back hit a wall. Maybe it wasn't too late. Maybe he could run. He got to his feet to do just that when he heard it. "I hear that's one hell of a ride," a man said. Jake turned to see the man who spoke to him. He was tall, with short black hair and deep blue eyes. On his back was a huge pair of black wings that twitched as the man studied Jake. Jake's heart stopped in his chest before thundering back to life. Wait, wasn't he dead? Didn't the heart stop in the afterlife? "Yes, you are dead," the winged man said. "Your heart still beats with your soul. You have a choice to make, and I suggest you consider all your options first." "What choice?" Jake asked. "You can go on about your destiny. Go to heaven or hell. I am not privy to which. Or you can work for me," the man said. "I don't think making a deal with a demon is a good way to save my soul," Jake told him. The man rolled his eyes. "I am not a freaking demon," he growled. "I am an angel. A-N-G-E-L. See the wings? Demons don't have wings like this." "Oh," Jake said. What the fuck else was he supposed to say? "What do you want from me?" "I need an elite guard to help me protect things down here. And up there too sometimes," the angel said. "And if I don't?" Jake asked. The angel shrugged. "I guess you go wherever you're supposed to go." Jake thought of all the things he had done in his life. He was surely going to hell one way or the other. The question was, would it be as an employee or as a resident? It was really a no-brainer. This may be his only chance at redemption. "I don't think I really have a choice," Jake answered. "There is always a choice," the angel replied. Jake considered his options again. No, there really wasn't a choice he was going to make. "At your service," he finally said, sticking his hand out for a shake. The angel took his hand and pumped it twice before letting go. "Name's Ash. Welcome to hell." Thank you for listening. We hope you've enjoyed Salvation, The Keepers of Hell, Book 2, written by Danielle James, and read to you by Miles Taylor. Copyright 2015 by Danielle James. Production copyright 2015 by Danielle James.